It is episode 50 of the All About Counter-Strike podcast. We're halfway through to 100. That's as far as I could go with that. I don't know. It feels 50 sounds like a big number, but now I'm already aiming at 100 dev walk. My mind is already going here. I'm not trying to enjoy that 50th moment. I'm just jumping the gun like, give me the 100 now. Still crazy though.
Yeah,
Still crazy.
It is an achievement. We have to say that. It is, you know, a mark of success that we kept it on for so long. I think a lot of people maybe tries the idea and kind of jumps ship for whatever reason. But it's been enjoyable for us so far, and we want to keep going. What else to say? I mean, I'm proud to do 50 podcast episodes. I'm proud to, you know, like, you talk to people and it's like, what the fuck, you guys have already done 50 episodes? And you know, we don't do the short ones either. It's not like an hour episode. Oh. It's, I mean, I don't know what the average is, but it's probably more around 3 hours-ish,
We need to look at some stats, right? Because like when I scroll down now, one of the smallest ones was 1 hour, 48 minutes.
Yeah.
But like on average, it must be 2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah, something along obviously those lines. I mean, we even cut some in several parts.
Yeah, exactly. The Hooksy one was a marathon. It was 2 hours, 36. And what was the what was part two? 2 hours, 36 and 1 hour and 34. Apex is 4 hours in one go. We got some bangers in there. But let me do my usual. So right now, it is Monday, the 9th of February. And it is currently exactly 7 p.m. for me here in Lisbon, Portugal. For Devil Walk over in Sweden, it is 8 p.m., just an hour difference. He is now the one further in the future than what I am. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of fun stuff to talk about as well. So just looking down the list, right, we're going to announce the winner of the knife giveaway. We've got a cool little, we're doing a fair way of doing it, should I say. Then we're going to look at the Krakow main event and playoffs preview, because we obviously did everything up until the playoffs. We've got loads of news to look at. Really crazy with what's going on with Atlanta, Astana. Some news on 100 Thieves. A lot of people already spoke about this. Then, Collusion of Poker, the next event I'll be at, is coming up. So we're going to do our preview of that. And to me, this is... I'll get into it later, but it's hugely stacked. It's hugely stacked. And then, as always, the Q&A. That's what we'll get into it all. So let's start with the knife giveaway winner, because it was like...
We also have one more thing.
Oh, what I forget?
So we're going to do a little bit of a devil walkthrough as well.
We didn't write it down
in the document, which is why you didn't mention it. But we're going to do that after the IEM Krakow review. That will be in there as well.
Finally, we're back with another devil walkthrough. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see what you've been cooking up. It's always good because I don't see them and I don't know what's coming. I know what team it's about, but that's it. Like I'm not aware of everything else that's happening. So that means I get to enjoy some of it as well. But actually, before we get into all of this, where are you at with the Elo grind, bro? Where are you at? Come on. You were doing so good. You were tweeting good.
Yeah. I was at almost 3.4.
Ooh.
But I will mention I had a pretty terrible run as of late. So I'm back at 3,150-ish.
Oh, damn. You tanked a lot.
Yeah. So I think there was one day I played eight games and lost seven. And that's where it tanked.
Tough.
That's where I was 3,350 and then went down to 3,100.
Was this a case where like you didn't want to stop while you were losing? You wanted to kind of fight your way back in, and then in the end you had to be like, I need to give up?
I think generally, I just had a really, really shitty day. You know, your match with bad teammates from the start kind of tilts you, and then you kind of lose your mental where you're like super sensitive. So someone makes one mistake and you're like, oh, I'm fucking tilt now already. It takes like, you know, the smallest thing kind of rocks your mind and mental a little bit. So I should have probably stopped a little bit sooner than I did. I shouldn't have gone eight games deep into that day, but I did. So I'll blame that. So I think if I just sleep well, wake up on the right side of bed, I'll grind it back.
Well, for me, I've been settled now into my apartment in Lisbon. I got a PC from OG, the CS team, the Dota team. They actually have a huge boot camp facility here, which was, it's No Tails House. And let me just tell you, you might have seen it from vlogs of the past and stuff. This is a mini castle in some ways. It's got like all the rooms a practice boot camp room would need, plus living quarters, plus outside barbecue. There's a swimming pool, there's a gym. So it's No Tails House turned into the OG facility. They've got everything. And I was just hitting them up, talking to them, and they gave me a mega PC to play and stream from, for me to borrow I'm out here, which is like big win to them. And then Notel invited me around because his wife is Ukrainian as well. So he invited me around for pizzas and he was cooking pizzas. I'm not a cook. I can just microwave stuff and put things in an oven.
But you're a taster.
Definitely a taster. But I even like, put some of the cheese on top, spread the sauce, you know, tried to act like I was actively involved in helping out. Do you know what? I made such a rookie mistake. So if you see it right now, I'm just using my like travel Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
Dude, you can't play CS. Like there is literally a 1 or 2 second delay. So I played one game on stream of CS and I was realizing, why am I like, everything's off sync, you know? You know like how sometimes you'll shoot because you're shooting based on the sound you're hearing or something that's happening, yeah?
Yeah.
Imagine the guy's peeking me, he's already out, but my brain is hearing the sound, so I'm not ready. Like, I don't have the same. So I played one game. We did win. I played mediocre. I basically had to just spend most of my rounds rushing and shooting anything that was in front of me, yeah?
You're and just then I went, hearing steps and it's like, or
dude, you, yeah, I don't
he,
know
he might come now. Where.
You're like, you have to preempt almost everything. So if you're just running at them, it's easier. So I played that one game. Definitely said I'm not playing any faces. At least I won the game I did play. And then I've just been playing RuneScape again and grinding out. Tell me, people in Counter-Strike at the moment, people who are watching the podcast, I know there's a lot of people that play RuneScape because when I'm streaming, there's like a crossover. Yeah?
Okay.
Are people who play Counter-Strike more old school RuneScape players or RuneScape 3? Because I'm toying with this again of old school is the one I understand. It's the one I played for so long. But RS3 has my main account and all my stuff on. So let me know in the comments.
There's pro players that play it, right? Does Rops play
it? Rops is a keen RuneScape player. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is his enjoyment game. Yeah, that's his chill downtime game. Yeah. There is actually a lot of RuneScape players. And I know Nato Sapphix was playing as well. I made an idea of doing some content around it. But obviously, you can't do this at a Counter-Strike event, so I need to do that. It'll be another idea I'll come to eventually.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of like the top World of Warcraft players recently came to RuneScape because they wanted a different game to play. I was watching some content around that. That's where I've been spending my time, and obviously getting ready for everything to do with the baby. It is though going to be just now for me waiting for a new headset to come. I'm getting sent a headset and I'm gonna use that because I can't play like this.
But there's no like cable possible. You can put in your PC with that one that works.
The cable is about this long, DW. Like it's long enough for a phone or something, but unless the computer could like be literally on my mouse pad, it's not happening. Like I tried to do every cable. I even pulled out
you can put straps on the PC and wear it as like a backside.
On my back. Break my back. So look, these are my in-ears I use for events, like stage events. Yeah. This doesn't even stretch enough. So this isn't close. So, we're just waiting right now. But whatever, it is what it is. Let's announce the winner of the knife giveaway. So it was the Talon Doppler Phase 4 Factory New Knife. We did this little video. So I recorded how we do it. There was 1,771 people that entered into the giveaway. Thank you very much for taking part. Thank you for subscribing. Hopefully you just enjoy the content anyway and you're just here to take part in our celebration. Remember, there was no sponsors or anything with this. We just did it with our own money. We got a knife and we gave it away to you guys. But the winner is Warm00. Now on his profile, he actually made some clips of CS and he's from Czech Republic, I think it was. So shout out to you if you're watching this video.
Congratulations. You're now an owner of a knife that's probably nicer than myself. What do I have? M9 Slaughter, I think.
Yours is still a classic, but I mean, he's on the top tier level of knives now. He has overtaken you in that sense. So his is pretty good. His is pretty dope. But we have going to message you now on the YouTube comments. You need to reply, otherwise we can't get it to you because guess what?
Or email us.
Or email. Yeah, email. contact@allaboutcs.gg. If loads of random people do this is not going to work because we can see his email. So don't try and screw us over here. But with that, let's start looking at everything Krakow, mate. It's good because we already covered a lot of Krakow. We only have after the playoffs to do. Remember, the big thing that I have a problem with Krakow is that it's only six teams going through the playoffs. So that was Aurora, G2, Mal, Spirit, Furia, and Vitality. The thing I want to start off with is I want to praise ESL on just moving to Krakow and doing it successfully. Yeah, it's still Poland, yeah, and they've got a base in Poland, but it's a new location. It's a new arena for them. I was sad it wasn't a 360-degree arena, but that's not what ESL's known for, right? They like the way they do it with a big stage up front. They did a
big dick arena, though, as I've seen both on broadcast and on Reddit.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I asked my girlfriend, "What does this look like?" And she said, "A dick instantly." So there's, it's not just like because I saw it on Reddit; it literally looked like a dick.
Especially when they're using the drone shots, and you can see it really well. I saw fans' pictures from like the top of the rafters as well, doing it at the same time. But you know what I want to give them a big shout out for is that this was bigger than the last Katowice's have been the last few years. There was more people in there. You could feel that energy even on the stream. You know, because we were both watching online from home.
Yep.
People kept saying, oh, you couldn't hear it well. The crowd mics are bad. And I'm like, I don't understand that because I even then, I double checked this against, you know, when like fans and players post videos of like the crowd and stuff beforehand. So like, you know, Dupree did the trophy. Yeah.
Yep.
And he had that video where it's
the
on his
POV,
camera.
Yeah.
You can hear the sound. And I'm like, do people expect the microphones to be like, like, do you expect?
Everyone has an individual like mic in the crowd. And
yeah, like, what do they expect? Because I'm someone who's been on these stages, been in these moments, and for people to be slandering the crowd, I'm like, no, it sounded pretty good.
It's also a delicate issue. You don't want the crowd mics near people where you hear everything they are saying.
We've had some problems with that.
Atmosphere. Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some problems with that.
There's risky business with crowd mics as well.
Just you hear the person in the front seat's whole conversation. Yeah, so mate, we're gonna go to this pub after the games and get lathered up, blah, blah, blah. You know, like you don't want to hear all that. I don't know. For me it looks great.
Did you hear the caster mics?
The reverb. The reverb.
It sounded a little bit weird on the caster
mics. That wasn't great.
Yeah.
That part for sure wasn't great. But that will always happen, I guess, on some audio issues. So maybe when people complain about audio issues, I guess maybe that is a problem. I was just talking specifically about the crowd, the energy I could feel even watching. I'm not there. And I'm trying to judge this off energy I'm feeling on there. And it just felt like this was a much better. I was at Katowice last year. This was much better than Katowice. Yeah, this was a big improvement, a big step forward. For sure, they can fix the commentary mics and how that sounds. I completely agree. But it just still looked like ESL have done this at the right time to be a step up for what this event is, the prestige of this event. It's still the same trophy. It's still the same legacy, just has a different name going to a different city. And obviously, for any people who just want to be smart and point this out, obviously, Krakow as a city would have spent money on this, right? It was a sponsor of the event. You know, that's also part of the deal. But I think that doesn't take away from anything that this event has to offer. The stairs are still there, still in Poland, still moving on forward. Like, to me, this was a win for ESL.
Yeah, great event. I mean, I think it will still take some time for it to have the same kind of, Katowice vibe. You know, everyone remembers these events as one of the greats of Counter-Strike history. And I think this will eventually get to that point, but it's just not 100% there yet, but it's a massive event. And I think it even beat some of the viewer records for non-major events as well. I read earlier today, so I don't know the exact numbers, but it was definitely a great success.
It's right up there now. It's just did a big jump up, so it's a positive throughout, and obviously you had some great games with it as well. So let's start by looking at the playoffs and what we had there. Do you want to go for our predictions first?
We can. Should we go through the predictions all at once or as we go through the games?
Well, let's do the first quarterfinals because it was Furia Aurora, right? We'll do it one by one, and we obviously, as always, we'll talk about the team that got eliminated first and work our way up. So I predicted Furia. You predicted Aurora in there. Furia manager to come up with the win. I'm going to say for Aurora as a team, this was a better looking Aurora once again throughout all of Krakow. No, wait. They beat Falcons 2-1. They beat Mouse 2-0. They lose to Vitality for that semi-final spot, even though Vitality were willing to get down and dirty and play Ancient again, you know?
Yeah.
That was a standout event. Obviously, Zywie was doing superhuman things. But I will just say that, like, Vitality removing Anubis from them probably completely threw them off. They weren't ready for that.
And I mean, I was ready for them to do that. How can they not be ready for it?
But I think, like, they did it against Fury at that time, right? But other than that, Vitality are not really doing it. And Aurora is not a team that I would say, in my eyes, feels like they're ready for a quick change up on that. We'd have to check.
But I mean, it just felt like Aurora, first of all, should have gone with an Ancient against them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have given them a better shot because, yes, they can mid-run call. They're great at mid-run situations and finding solutions and all of that. But it felt like they just played into Furious Gamble and gave them all the strengths when they are, you know, they are the underdog in this scenario. No matter what, if it's a group stage match or if it's a playoff match, they are the underdog in this scenario. And they kind of have to cut corners to some extent. And I'm very surprised they were not ready for Furia to ban it, because if you just listen to like public discourse about Aurora, they are a strong team now because of Anubis, right? That's what everyone is saying. Yeah. So it should have been a pretty simple kind of, okay, they've done this against Vitality in the past. They're willing to play Ancient when they are going up against a pick that is so certain for the other team.
You know, I was talking about Vitality though, right? I was talking about a Vitality game first. You jumped ahead.
The Vitality game? But what do you mean? Furia, we're in the quarters, mate.
Yeah, no, I know, but we haven't touched on any of Aurora's games, so I was still talking about this Vitality game. Just because they played that for the Aurora versus Vitality.
Ah, yes, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about the fact that I don't think Aurora expected Vitality to remove Anubis. Yeah.
Ah, okay. I jumped into Furia. Okay, now I understand. Yeah.
Now you see. But then when you're talking about Furia, yes, you can say that was to be expected. So do you think that it would have been better if Aurora went for Ancient and played Ancient?
100%. First of all, against Vitality, they picked it. Yes, it didn't go their way, but it's not like they look terrible on Ancients. Like, they still put pressure on Vitality, got it to overtime, and played a good game against arguably, you know, a Vitality that looks to be kind of back in form. I would say even better form than at the Major currently. And they won that. And, you know, Furia, I thought, looked a little bit shaky in the group stage. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost to Foot. And they played close in pretty much every series that they played. The Mongols picked up a map against them and could have probably taken Inferno as well at some point. They played Na'Vi, who picked up Inferno against them. It was maybe a little bit more secure of a win in the other two maps in that series. And against Astralis, again, they could have lost against Astralis in the lower final. That was a really, really close game. So for me, I don't know. It's, you know, everyone keeps talking about Aurora and it's like, oh, they can never play against a crowd. But at some point, they like, how can it be so different? You know, I saw a post, you know, of Stiko posting on Twitter even, you know, Aurora is just flexing, you know, smoke lineups now where they triple smoked mid. They smoked normal mid, you know, the one that you, I think you bounce down and just have in the mid doors, one on top and one on Xbox at the same time. Like, that is for a team that is very, very, you know, utility based because of how they play CS 5v5.
Yeah.
That seems so off. Like, that's you know, you can excuse two maybe at the same time, but three at the same time? Something's wrong with the communication there.
But also, I need to understand if they have this performance coach back. Because remember, we touched on this, I don't know, maybe before the major. They had a performance coach, then they removed the performance coach. And I don't know if they have someone else in there for who obviously they want to work with or how it's going. But I mean, this isn't just like a new player coming in and this is why they play bad. This is the same old story of them not playing good on stages. Yep. And those kind of mistakes, you're all speaking the same language, so it can't be a communication thing. It's got to be a stress thing. It's got to be complete stress and not feeling comfortable.
By the way, it's 100% tunnel vision. Like, it's 100% tunnel vision. This is like, I recognize the pattern. It's like everyone just says what they need to say, but they don't take anything in. So I'm 100% sure that people are talking to each other, but they're just not listening to each other because they're too focused on their task alone, that they can't. It's like...
So someone says smoke mid, and then they all just decided to do it in different ways. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure that all three of them said, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it.
But do you think it's like a case of, you know, like you see on Face It Games sometimes, someone go, I can do it, and they all say I can do it, but they all do it, and no one says, okay, you're the one doing it, you know? Like, was that the missing gap of communication?
Well, I can't really answer 100% for that, but
yeah.
The pattern I recognize is, you know, when it's almost like freeze time sometimes, this can be a problem for in-game leaders, it's like sometimes individual players take the freeze time to think about what they're going to do in the round before the round starts. So they go through the steps. Okay, I'm going to go lower. If I hear one lower, I'm going to molly. If they're not, I'm going to take short fast maybe. Like, they're going through all of these steps in their brain. Yeah. So when the call actually comes, and it might not be a default, all of a sudden they're thrown off because they're still deep in thought of what they were supposed to do in the default. And how they want to accomplish certain things. So sometimes people can just be in that. They don't hear anything. I'll do it. And then they just throw it. And they don't have no idea what the fuck has been communicated. And I feel like that could be, you know, it's almost like they want to perform so much that they don't perform at all.
And
that's my analysis of it. I don't know. Like, it's just a recognizable issue.
It has to be in their heads now as well, because we're talking about it. They know it's coming as well going into it. They look like they're lost in themselves sometimes with these mistakes like you mentioned. And even the individuals can't shine enough to play, you know? Like, I feel like for Zantaras and Woxic now, even Wicadia, there's no excuse. There is zero excuse.
For Soulfly, there's an excuse.
Yeah. So for Soulfly, 100%. But like Maja has spoke about when he's done these exit interviews with us, and he said to me, team's not doing the same things. They're not listening the same way. And it's like, but you've now had so much experience in this. And he's always had the same kind of problems, the same answers to these questions. And it's like, you can't figure this out. You had a performance coach. That's not worked. You got rid of someone else. So for me, it's just, you don't want to be the team that can only kind of make it somewhere and then you're always going to bomb out. It's almost like you can predict every time. Unless they face the Mongols, they're always going to bomb out.
I feel like they might even get a healthy... Like going into a playoff game like this and just saying, we're going to lose. We're going to flunk this. We're going to like actually just say what the fuck has been happening for the last 20 times they've gone on stage. Yep. So that like just give up and literally you'll play better. Like I think that they should just give up. Just say we're going to lose this fucking game no matter what happens. Let's just play, enjoy whatever time we have on stage and go back home, you know? And maybe that will release...
Out of context, this sounds so weird. This whole thing sounds so weird. I get you. I fully get you. I know what you're saying, but it does sound.
I'm just saying. Reverse the process. Don't say like, "Come on, let's do this." Don't hype up. Fucking hype down, man. Just go a complete reverse direction. Let's have some different results than
Yeah.
What you've tried in the past. That's all I'm saying.
No, I understand the way you're going with it. But I think top six here, it's not bad. I'm not going to say it's good.
It's completely acceptable.
Losing a way where you look like you had some chance, you know, showed some fight. It's not like they can't compete against a team like Fury. They should be able to by now. But yeah, it's rough. But that's 5th to 6th for them in that one.
Yep.
At least it's a good placing overall within the playoffs. But we expect so much more from this overall. I think that's what we can come down to. Next is G2. Now, G2, it's kind of a different way of looking at this team. So against the Mongols, against Foot one was close. Foot, I think, continues to deserve more respect, you know?
Yeah.
They're showing up as a team that can fight, can look good. Then who else did they play? So they played Spirit as well. That was for the semifinals game. No shame in losing to Spirit the way they did. They could have had it in overtime, you know? Especially coming back from being 8-4 down in the first half, putting up a good CT side. Sampaio as well, who, by the way, a lot of people criticize Sampaio all the time, but at least within that dust too, he showed up. Like, he gets a lot of flack from the community and people, obviously because he is an AWPer as well. And obviously he's had the experience of working with Saw. But yeah, he has struggled quite a lot. And then getting on to their quarterfinal game against Mouse. Now, I don't think many people had G2 winning this match. But my God, once we saw that overpass, yeah, and how close it got, I really believe we were in for a series. Like, we were going to get a good game. And, bro, it was...
I mean, it was a good game. I saw the Cooper G2 tweet. Like,
a good game up until Dust 2.
Yeah, which was that bad. If you would put G2 and Aurora on a 5th and 6th place, G2 is definitely 5th in my book in terms of this performance. They still made it close on Overpass. This is still two maps that Mouse has played a lot. They're really, really good on. Obviously, it's good maps for G2 as well. But, you know, I think it's tough when you have a Mouse who actually play good on T-sides. Then you're going to have a rough game. So, you know, respect for Mouse and Brolan for his calling. Also, Brolan's individual level has kind of bumped up a lot.
Yeah, he put some grind in. Definitely put some grind in.
So that makes Mouse just a way more proficient team overall. You know, even...
Did you see the Cooper tweet? Did you see the Cooper tweet?
I did not see the Cooper tweet. Let me check.
It was a picture of Sun Pius versus Mao's, and he took the arms using AI, I guess, off of Sun Pius.
What?
I had to laugh. Like, he literally removed some. So Sun Pius stood there, but he's got no arms. He was trying to make out like
you have this tweet. That
bad. Oh, I can find it quickly. Yeah, I sent you it.
Okay. I'm going to have a look.
It is very harsh, but I had to laugh after watching that game. I had to laugh after watching that game. Because,
I mean,
Sampaio can play on stages. Stage fright is not a problem for him. Sampaio, when he came alive, right, when we first started seeing him on that Movistar Riders lineup, him on stage was the thing that was carrying them through. They were beating FaZe at Cologne. He was dominating, you know? That's the Sampaio I remember, the Ents moments of Sampaio. But this kind of a performance is like, you are, at that point, you are the weight of the team that's pulling you down. And if this continues, they can get a better AWPer. They definitely can get a better AWPer for the next season. It's very early on to say. I think the reason I'm more critical of them, by the way, is because they also skipped Blast Bounty to come straight into Krakow. So yes, 5th to 6th is good. The overpass game was good, but maybe I expected more from them to be ready and individually fired up, considering it was the first event of the season, the way they were tackling the calendar.
Yeah, I get your point, but I think it was still a really good tournament. This is still a Mouse that I thought looked really good. Like, yes, they lost to Aurora. That was maybe the worst one. Even the NRG one, I still think NRG looked really, really good going into this tournament. Yeah. They played really well. We're talking about G2 still, though.
You're confusing me. Where have you gone here?
I'm just going with the mouse. It's still mouse G2. I'm just saying.
We're not jumping into mouse yet.
Mouse were strong this tournament. So it's... I don't think that we should be harsh on G2. I don't think so at all. I think it... It should be, you know, if you went before this tournament, not a lot of people would put them in the playoffs. So I think it's still acceptable. True. I think if you look at the pieces and the teams that went
ahead
of them.
We didn't have them in playoffs, right? Did you have them in playoffs?
I don't think so.
No, neither of us had them in playoffs.
So, I mean, if you just look at the teams that came ahead of them, Spirit, Fury, Vitality, Mouse. That's... acceptable for whatever team you are in the world, that they are, these four teams are going to be ahead of you.
I think when we come to look at Cluj, for still for a G2 going forward, they need to be within playoffs again. Because this is what that team is building for, you know? Yeah. I think Hunter is developing really nicely. He even has some individual games of brilliance. Heavy God and Matty's, I think we're always very positive about. Malbs is... up and down, learning now, obviously, how to deal with... Well, he's not even learning now. He's had the time to deal with the fact that there's no Nico there. So he needs to call his own game and take more initiative. But the Sampaios one will be a question mark that's continued to be rising unless we start to see some old form Sampaios pop up. Because that was tough. It was tough to watch.
How much did you watch of this game? Because I missed parts of this game.
I didn't see any of the dust too. I saw the overpass. That was the exciting part.
Because I remember when Sampaios played the absolute best Counter-Strike that I've seen him, it was usually in 3 or 2-man setups. I remember Vertigo specifically about Sampaios would always be in these very, very exact setups. I mean, he would go... you know, the mid box, peak mid, a rifle would be close in the corner. As the T's were peaking, the rifle would swing out after his first shot, etc. He would always be the first kind of engagement, but always being able to fall back into a different position. Yeah. My question essentially is, and I can probably check this up even on Skybox and stuff as we're talking, is essentially... are they running a lot of that stuff, or is it more defaulty with triggers based now compared to what maybe he's been used to in the past on, especially CT sides?
When you're saying what he was used to in the past, was this still when he was under Saw at Ents? Because then like Saw would know how to make this. Yeah. So this then Saw should know how to make this comfortable for him, you know?
Yes. I'm just wondering if maybe there's a lack of that, where they put him in these areas to hit the shots and have the fallback plan.
He's not a Manasi, right? He's not going to be doing those kind of moves and movements.
No, but those are more solo-based moves.
I'm just saying, exactly.
You know, a setup where a rifle is taking care of the second guy for him to escape. Either way, we can move on. I hope to see more of that from him.
Yeah. Well, then we get to our third and fourth place. So we'll start with Mouse, who ended up in fourth.
Yep.
Mouse are, to me, it's not about this stupid auraless or anything like that that people have to comment again and again.
They did some good skits.
They had some fun. They had some fun with it.
Yeah.
Again, ESL were cooking with the skits. They were on fire, as always. Sphinx had a great tournament, for sure. But the problem with Mouse is, it's another team without those star players, and everyone can have a pop-off game. So if fans look at just the rating and say, like, Autorzi was bad, or, you know, Yimfat was bad, or Zershan was bad, they can all have a bad map, but someone else can carry some of the weight and do it. This Vitality game, it looked like we were back to, like, I think Yanko or JL summed it up perfectly on the desk, where they said, like, this isn't a rivalry, yeah? Because a rivalry has some back and forth. The games that Mouse have won over Vitality were not the, other than, was it Cologne? They were not big games that mattered. And all of the time, other than that, Vitality is just winning.
Yeah.
And Mouse still struggling. Like this wasn't a competitive game. This was Vitality dominating. This was no individuals having chances to step up or shine. Spink slowed down, which they relied on in the group stages as well. Like this was tough to watch for looking at Mouse. I did expect Vitality to just manhandle them. I was hoping there might be a way to get a map. Losing Train obviously hurts Mouse quite a bit here as well. And they didn't really try and pull anything out that was like something that could shock Vitality, you know? We just get Nuke, Dust 2, and Mirage if needed.
Yeah, I mean, what to even add on this? It's kind of a... I don't know. It just felt like a free run to the final for Vitality. As you say, there wasn't that much... It's like you say also, the maps, like you need to luck out a little bit, have a little bit of momentum going your way pretty early on. If we're going to see a Vitality starting on their CT side 6-0 on you, like it already feels as a viewer, okay, this is over. It needs to be a fight from the start. Like it needs to be a little bit of back and forth. Maybe Mouse start to gain the money control, but it's when you get bad starts like that against a team like Vitality, they find the solution, shut you down. There's not much to discuss.
And I also think that people can't, after the major, now target Vitality's Nuke as a weak spot. Both Mouse and Fury have tried, didn't work out for them. But I mean, maybe if Mouse have some confidence with you, I'd like them to see try their overpass at it. Try and find that weaker spot within Vitality rather than, because the map pool was just so in favor of Vitality. And I'm not talking about stats, I'm just talking about with what would be expected from Vitality. It like plays into how good it is within this matchup for him. And then obviously Mouse then had to play the third place decider against Spirit. This wasn't a banger. Like they if you can't beat Vitality or Spirit, I think I made some tweet about this. It's like you will forever just be that semifinals gatekeeper team. And if you somehow don't have to play one of them, you can be in the grand final. But then you come up against them, you're probably still gonna lose.
Did you watch like some of the face cams and stuff in this third place decider? Because it just looked like two very depressed teams playing each other.
I only saw the fact that like Donk was... I thought there was a way in on Dust 2 if Donk was going to tilt anymore. And it wasn't like... Donk didn't play badly, but it was badly beyond Donk standards. It looked like this the other members of Spirit cared more.
This game... for Donk was when kind of like how Rops plays RuneScape on his off day. Like it felt like he was just chilling.
I have to do this, you know, like this is a must. This is just a game I need to go through. But it's obviously for teams, it's important, not just the money, but also VRS. Yeah. And it's another game on land. It's another game on stage. And also still so much better than us having to watch a boring show match.
Yes. No one wants 100%. We need this at the major. It's just such a weird one as a competitor to play. I know it's really important for the organization. It's really important. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that important.
But would you want a third place decider at the major?
Huh?
Third place decider at the major. Would you like that?
The only reason I like third place deciders is because of the VRS points. The allocation for it.
Okay.
I, as a competitor, hate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusts me.
Why do you hate it?
Because there's the reason to play is gone. If you cannot win the event, what the fuck am I here for? It's like...
Okay, but then shouldn't that be where Mouse can pick themselves up as a team that needs some confidence boosting and say, at least we're going to win the third place decider?
No, I think that's incredibly hard. When you're going to an event and everything you're talking about is winning, and when that shot is just like thrown out the window, to motivate yourself to the extent that like it's always going to be lower, no matter who you are.
It's $40,000 more prize money. I know they don't care so much about money. They're on good salaries. Life is good as a player, yeah. But still, there's something in there. And Mount, like I can imagine Spirit just not giving a hoot at all. But I was
yeah.
I was hoping for more. I was hoping for more. I think Mouse's run just to me says that they are gatekeepers of playoffs and they can make deep runs, but it's still not a title contender. And maybe if they don't do well at Cluj and they go for the back-to-back win, you know, obviously it's a lot more tougher competition there. This could be where they start to already get back into that mindset of we need to make changes. And I know, like, everyone expects them to make changes during the last player break, but I'm thinking we'll be in this position where it has to be a conversation again.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to sit there forever wanting to be like, oh, we're top four. Yep, great.
I think the thing that will start to stress them out is kind of the community discourse of they will never win an event. I mean, there was even Reddit posts, and I'm sure these players look at Reddit, they watch comments, they... Even if they probably avoid it during a tournament, but instantly when it's over, they're probably browsing depressed in their bed at a hotel. That's just what I believe. And they probably see this like, okay, Mouse haven't won a tier one tournament since 2010.
Oh yeah, because clues didn't really count. Yeah, it's like 1.5.
So it's like, I think it was a post, but it was like Gobby, Six was still playing in Mouse Sports.
It was a post on Reddit. Carrigan won like EPL and stuff with Mouse.
But it was a tier one event. It was something along those lines. Let me check. It should probably be easy to find this.
By the way, tiers have become such a interesting way of talking about CS because... It makes this more.
Maybe
like
it was an IEM event, ESL IEM.
Yeah, probably, you're probably thinking IEM because like they won Flashpoint.
It's probably
3.
IEM.
What else did they have here? Because you're doing them dirty right now. They won Pro League.
I am doing
one,
them dirty.
Two. Yeah.
They okay, won here, Pro League. Here. It's an IEM event, not an S tier event. IEM. Sorry,
okay.
I apologize.
Okay.
It's been 60 years since Mouse won the last IEM event.
Yeah, that's just an IEM thing though.
Yeah.
But still. A proper S tier one with all the best teams, yeah, and being in an arena because Pro League doesn't count for that. That is their problem because you had two Pro League wins. I think the last Pro League win was still when Shuhei was on the team, and they went back to back. If I'm right,
probably.
Yeah, Shuhei
but
was
yeah,
there.
But they have so many silver medals. I'm looking through this post,
yeah,
and we're talking like 2012 IEM Kiev. Second place, 2015, 16. They have a third place, IEM Chicago, IEM Katowice, fifth place, second place, IEM Cologne, 2023, Sydney, 34th, second at Chengdu, IEM Katowice again in 2025. No, Rio. Chengdu.
Yeah, Rio. They lost the Derby.
Yeah. So they have like, I don't know. It looks like it's like
stacking up.
Almost 6-7 second places.
Don't say 6-7. Of course. There you go. YouTube comments going to have a field day with the 6-7 from Devwalk. Only 43 minutes into the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back on track then away from Mouse and what we can hope for them because I still think there's something missing with them. Spirit, I still think this is a good performance for Spirit even though they have like so much to go through. The reason I picked Furia, by the way, we've forgotten about our playoff predictions. So far, playoffs, yeah. I said that Furia would win. I was right. We both said Mouse would win. We were right. We both said Spirit would win. Yeah, in the semi-final.
We thought it would be a Spirit Vitality final.
But I said that it would be really close, 2-1 Spirit over Furia. It would be super close. Now, let's just look at Spirit's run. 2-0 Astralis, 2-0 Na'Vi, 2-1 G2, and then 2-1 Furia. It could have been easily, if they won that Mirage overtime, 2-0 to Spirit. Everyone was saying like this was such a hard game to play, like it was so difficult. And honestly, with how Furia played against G2, and you were seeing like KSRI was doing really well, Yuri's doing well, I expected them to come in where they don't just need Molodoy. Like, we know what Molodoy can do, right? We praise him to no end. But I was expecting Molodoy with backup. You know, Monodoy with Case Serrato playing well. Yuri just doing well in his position. I don't need him to have some crazy rating, but, you know, getting down and dirty, just holding his bomb site well. And then all of a sudden, it started to slip away and fall apart. And yeah, it was watching this on a Mirage. It felt like they weren't going to be able to pull it over the line. But then their nuke was just so good. And obviously, it was, again, Molodoy. But what did he hit? Let me have a look.
I'm almost tilt watching this CT side from Spirit. Or actually, I was tilt. Not even almost. I was tilt. But the reason I was tilt is because they lost almost every single round the same way. And to me, it is unfathomable to lose in the way they lost, because it was one of those things where, you know, Furia maybe gets an entry. They pull two back. But then there's like a 3v3 or 2v3 situation happening pretty much every round. And Spirit players just keep pushing for ground, keep pushing for ground, keep pushing for ground. And Furia players, they have either one just making like a little bit of a mask, like throwing utility, making some sound, and one guy just waiting for the push. It was like they knew they were going to push every single round and just brought it back, killed them, easy. If you look through this CT side, it is literally just Spirit players walking into Furious T side players holding an angle. Like there wasn't even duels. Like it was like they were so stressed. We have to win a round now. And everyone wanted to play a hero to win the round, find the perfect timing. And everyone got punished. They just did nothing, I swear, if they picked one position on the map and just sat there, they would have won more CT rounds than they did. Like, just sit there until time is out. If they plant, move. Otherwise, just sit there and they would win more rounds.
I do think as well, this is not like throwing shade on Magix, and I don't care what his rating was. I think I said this last episode as well, is when these games get really close and really tight, there's only so much Halley can do, and he still has to learn so much of all of this, yeah? And we spoke about it. It's not just about him keeping Donk in the mood and everyone going and keeping the team in the right mindset. It's about just having other ideas, having a read for the game again. You know, there's a lot of this that he needs to figure out at the same time.
But you know, in Counter-Strike, sometimes the trap can be that you think that you need to apply an answer to the questions that are being posed to you on the server. Sometimes the answer is literally not having an answer. Just let the round play out. You don't always have to try for a stack. You don't always have to, you know, put extra players somewhere. Sometimes you just have to, okay, they do outside yard smokes. Let's follow our protocols. One go down, you know, rotation fills in upper, you know, like move the players as you should. It felt like Spirit were always trying to almost find the perfect solution for everything that happened, trying to read the game too much that they ended up trapping themselves. And that's kind of what was disappointing to me, was they almost overplayed themselves.
And okay, Spirit don't manage to get his Donk, still has a good performance individually. We still see, I would say, the frustrations, which was to be expected when you're as good as he is. But this was better team CS, better decision-making CS from Furia to win this one out.
Yeah.
And that's what got him into the grand final. And I will say that I just feel like it's going to be a more experienced thing. The crazy thing is the Spirit now are skipping Cluj, and they got a break ahead of them before they come back in. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing.
I think it can be a good thing. I think they looked desperate some points where it almost looked a little bit face-city, if that makes sense. Like, they were just
you saw what Halley said, right? He didn't expect so many top teams to be going to Cluj. Otherwise, they probably would have
accepted that. I saw.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think they need a little bit more answers and a little bit more structure and stability to help Magix out in these tough moments. I felt went a little bit overboard with individualistic thinking. So I think it's a good thing that they take a break, because we have to remember this is a rookie IGL in terms of Magic's playing against some of the best teams in the world. We can only expect him to be punished for at least some time moving forward if he doesn't have enough help in the backpack, so to speak.
Yeah, I get it. But still positives to be looked at if what Spirit can offer across the year. Badong's going to be getting hungry. And obviously this move was made to keep him happy, and what we keep saying, right? And like, Spirit is in a position where if you want to keep Donk, you need to build a winning team with this. And by the way, his English keeps getting better. There is a world where someone else can try and snipe him out of that contract, probably be the biggest transfer in CS history. But Furious run up until the final. Losing to Foot in the first game, there was alarm bells, right? We touched on this before. They beat Mongols, Na'Vi, Astralis, but all 2-1.
I felt like they struggled all the way through the playoff.
Yeah.
It was sweaty watching them.
It was the same as a Bounty, though, you know? Like a Bounty, it was 9 had a good run and a good chance of it. Obviously, it was still a 2-0, but they nearly lost a Foot. And yes, it was online. Yep. Then it was 2-1 to Heroic on land and then losing to Paravision. So everything was not comfortable. And obviously, they went through some role and position changes, like Fallen, Yuri switching some things up. And, you know, like they are, like Fallen's way, I think what he said in one interview was, it might have been a HLTV interview. He said, like, sometimes even if things are working, you need to like make a change to get a different output, you know? I'm paraphrasing massively here.
Outcome maybe, yeah.
But then they beat Aurora. We already touched on that game. They beat Spirit. And then here in the finals, they started off well. To come back from that 9-3 deficit and win Mirage.
Well, to be fair, they started off awful.
Yeah, but I mean, in the maps and to start off well. But
yes.
To come back from what the way they did, yeah? With a good individual set of performances, that amazing highlight from Molodoy, which is why exactly he's so exciting to watch. Yeah. That was a good kickoff to turn things around there. What did you say? You said you like stopped watching the game after the first half.
For me, it was literally at 9-2, I was like, ah, fuck this. This map was over. I might as well play a Face It game. So I jumped into Face It, queued. And then, you know, I played my first half and I'm looking, you know, because I have it on the TV to my left.
Yeah.
I'm looking to my left and it's like, what the fuck? This game ain't over yet. It's like 9-8 now. Like, what the hell is happening? It was something along those lines. So I had to rewatch the Mirage because I watched the Inferno and Nuke. The Nuke, I was incredibly disappointed I even watched because it wasn't competitive at all.
No.
But Mirage, I was disappointed I didn't finish through because that was an incredible game.
It was a game where I expected it to be over, and then I didn't see that comeback happening. I didn't see that comeback happening at all.
No, but it's a funny one, you know, because I thought after what, like, Yekinder was like the best player on the server, and his T side was atrocious. He had a 3.3 ADR on T side on Mirage. That's one kill, 11 deaths, and one assist with a minus 10% swing rounds. And on CT side, he had a 2.08 rating, plus 9.05 swing, 15 kills, 5 deaths, 5 assists. And he was 4-0 in opening duels, and he was destroying them. It was so kind of weird to see that, you know, Vitality was obviously dominating them. But I also, like, there was a lot of rounds where it felt like this is the round Vitality ended. And something incredible happens. Like you mentioned, the Molodoy clutch. There was one round, Keserato, he was like in alone on A, running through smokes, dodging people left and right and getting kills. When one jumped up, Ninja got a second kill. He's hiding in the smoke again, and Vitality players just trying to find him as the rotations kind of push in and end the round, which was kind of a funny moment. But was also the reason, even without the kills from him, the reason they won that round and could live on, you know. There were so many of these moments where Vitality probably could have ended it. But something incredible stopped them.
And then throughout the rest of it, right, I would say it just felt like Furia were being pounced on with confidence, yeah? Even after, like, you would think the swing would be in Furia's favor considering you've just come off the massive comeback. You can, and to be fair, Vitality's mentality has always been incredibly strong, even in games they shouldn't have been able to win. Just think back to Melbourne, for example, you know? But the way they just individually outplayed, Zyru having the best final of his career, the best performance of his career. He just dominated on that Inferno. What was it? 2.22 rating. Mezzi had a, like, everyone on this team can have a pop-off game. I think it was only Rops that didn't, you know? There were some mega moments from Apex across the whole playoffs as well.
Yeah.
Where he was, like, back in his good form. We remember at the beginning of 2025, you know, where he individually was there at the same time. This was a Furia that then didn't have the answers to anything. Like, they could win a round and it'd be clawed away from them, pulled off in a different way.
I think if I would, like, if I was in the Furia camp, I would look at this game and just look at it. Okay, every single game we had slow starts. You can look at the Inferno, Vitality go 4-0 up. You know, even you can say 6-2 up, even. On Inferno T side. You look at Nuke. It's a 9-0 lead for Vitality. You look at Overpass. 5-0 and probably should have been 6-0 to be fair on that Overpass T side. And it's you look at Mirage again. It's 5-1 or you can say 9-2. There's too many moments where it feels like Furia find solutions, but they find it at the half point of a half, so to speak. Like, that's when they start grinding out. That's when they start to figure out what Vitality is doing. We even heard, like, even on the voice comm of that Inferno game, we got a little of a voice comm from Jekindar, where he just said, please play, you know, the way that I tell you to play. Just listen, please, everything. Do it exactly as I say it, because I know how they play. They started to win and grind some rounds out, but it feels like it's way too late, you know, when already Vitality has the money control, they have a buffer of 4 rounds on T side. It's too late to start getting rounds against the best team in the world at that point. Yeah. It's too difficult to grind your way up and out of. So I think, in term, I look at this game where Vitality won in prep work. They knew what they wanted to do to win and gain the early advantage, while Furia was always clawing back into the game.
I mean, that's a fair way to put it. And, you know, we praise Molodoy so much and how good he is individually, but, like, this was his third worst ever event for Furia, and again, a problem on a big stage. He is super confident. He's trying to learn. He's spoken in interviews about he's watching back his demos, trying to see where he's re-peaking, how he's not playing the same way, what he can do to get better. His highs are so crazy, right? Like Chengdu, 1.27. The Thunder Pick one was really high as well, but it's not classified as a big event. But like, look at this. First event he ever had for Fury, Astana, 1.07. Last London finals, they get to the LAN, they finish in top 4, but a 0.77 rating for him. But then everything else is like really strong. And then it's just here, Krakow now, 1.08. And he was really missing in that final. Like, he was completely not able to do anything. Now,
it's an interesting problem. Yeah, it's an interesting problem because...
Well, before it was majors. Now it's like this. I'm not going to say 1.08 rating for the whole event is bad, yeah? But 0.75 from your star in a final... That's painful. Yeah.
I don't think he played badly in the final.
He still has some moment highlights.
If we remove the Nuke, I don't think his performance was that bad. And Nuke, they never had a chance in either. He'd probably be closer to, 0.96 or something like that if we remove Nuke. But I think...
Overpass was really bad as well.
Yeah, it was. But he played good on some maps, but I don't think he has maybe the stamina in the way that he plays. And it's also a problem where the peaks that he's doing, the re-peaks he's doing, is what makes him great at the same mm-hmm. time is what people are punishing. So there's a interesting, like, how do you deal with this problem question for Furia in that regard? Because at one point, you don't want to remove what makes him great.
Yeah.
But at the other point, you kind of want to make him more consistent. So it's...
You
want to
see him grow.
Yeah. So it's a... Yeah. It's a tough one.
Kind but of he takes these things very harshly as well, but goes back to the drawing board, goes back to working on himself. That's what I know from him as a person, as a player. That is definitely very admirable. And he is continuing to try and learn and grow. And he's still so young in it all, you know? Still a second place, but Krakow is huge. It's just a impressive journey he's been on. But now we expect so much more from him. And then expectations are what we are looking to see be met. Lastly, our champions, Vitality. Their run was just crazy, right? 2-0 BC game, 2-0 3D Max, 2-0 Aurora, 2-0 Mouse, and 3-1 Furia. Now, I want to say this, bro. Some Zyru fans are so... Their brain is gone. And some of these French people, like, you need to learn to read or understand some context, because you're... Like, some people were saying to me, first of all, I'm not an analyst, so that's fine. Someone goes, did you not say on a podcast that Simple and Donk are way better than Zyru? Did you not keep saying that Donk was better than Zyru in 2025? You hypocrite. And I'm like, bro, by the way, he got completely ratioed in the comments anyway, but he is the dumbest of dumb, because I felt, and I still stand by my words, Donk was the better individual player in terms of skill and ability in 2025. We know the reasons why Zyru won best player in the world. It's a super competitive, close race. This has been talked about to no end, yeah? This performance from Zyru in this grand final and just across Krakow was monumental. This was best grand final he ever had. The impact he had. This was the Zyru we have said was missing for so long. Like the Simple-esque carry performance, the Donk dominance, yeah? Those are the things that stand out as one of the truly great players. Now, Zyru's whole career, he has been so good. He's been so consistent. Sponge spoke about it on HLTV Confirmed. Like, he's working with a lot less, right? No one's dropping him guns the whole time. No one's setting him up the same way. They're two completely different styles of CS between Spirit and what Vitality run, yeah?
Yeah.
But still, I've not seen this level of monster from Zyru. He can have games like this, but then in so many other games in Grand Finals, he drops off or disappears. Like, let me just see what he did map by map. Mirage, 1.28.
2.22 Inferno. In the final.
1.83 on Nuke. 1.52 on Overpass. And then overall rating for this final, 1.66. There was no one close to him on his team. He had no other help. There was no Rops there. There was no Flames there. Like, they had moments when they were up there with him. Mezzi had a map.
He has over 2 KD for four maps. He has 90 kills. I think, let's see. I don't even know. I mean, he has more than one kill per round. He has to have.
But this is probably. But like, do you know what? So someone then tried to link me. This is how stupid people are. Someone tried to link me and say, but look at Katowice 2025. He was a 1.54 rating and carrying the team. It wasn't individuals' carries. The Dust 2, Rops absolutely dominated. Then Zyru did it. And then Apex dominated on the Mirage. Like, it was a 1.54 rating. It was really, really good from Zyru, yeah? No one's taking that away from Zyru. But even then, Donk was higher rated for him across the whole Katowice, yeah, in 2025. If we're looking just at those stats, at that players. And then what was it here? Zyru's KD was 1.60, yeah? Now, this Zyru performance is the Zyru performance people who love his gameplay and love him should be hyped about. So when I'm talking about it, I was talking about how amazing this was. This was the undeniable carry mode.
Yeah.
This was absolutely spectacular. This was fantastic. And someone wants to say, you're a hypocrite for that stuff? No. We're talking about the facts of what's there in the game. This is the performances that Zyru didn't have in Grand Finals over and over again. He can always win the MVP. He can always be consistent across the board. But this was like a standout. Apex said it in the winner's interview. Yeah. That if anyone's doubting Zybrew now, this is where he's put it on the map. He's shown it. This was his hard carry. That's what we wanted to see.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely, you know, if there was doubters out there, I'm not saying that's you, Banks. I'm just saying if there are, they were definitely shut down by this performance. This tournament, I mean, Vitality with Saivu looked incredible. Yeah. And it is a insane performance. It is an absolutely insane performance.
I actually thought he was going to overtake Donk's performance of the 1.70 rating. You know, I honestly saw at one point that was going to happen. Just a little bit more and he could have done it. He could have broken all the records and done some madness. And the thing is, I think it was after Austin, right? We said that this puts him as the greatest of all time. Yeah. So he's already ahead of the Simples and Donks. Yep. But that doesn't mean that play style wise and how he was having this, it's not about the cultural impact. I mean, having these highlight moments, having these crazy performances, we were still lacking that. Every analyst and commentator who was watching the game would say that. Yeah. He didn't have that same flair. This was one of those moments. It finally came around for him. And this was so impressive. It was so good. And so everyone's going to agree on that. And bro, if he can come into that with multiple more grand finals like that, if this can be a new age of Zywoo in his prime, God, how old is Zywoo now? He's been in his prime for forever. His prime don't drop off. 25 now. If he continues this, oh, it's going to be absolutely sickening.
Yeah, he absolutely has a couple of more years.
By far.
Oh, well, unbelievable. It's nice to see Vitality back in form and they look stable. I'm just wondering, is this going to be just every single time we do a podcast, we're just going to say Vitality every single event they're attending as the winners? I was kind of looking forward to a little bit of a weaker Vitality. I'm not going to lie. Like, I didn't want Saivu to just hammer everyone. I want the...
Wait, for it finally to happen now, I'm down. Did you see Apex's tweet as well? Yeah? He said, another big trophy for the team. I'm so proud of the boys. Best event ever for Zywoo, without a doubt. That goes on to what we're saying, yeah? But then he also tweeted, even if you are successful, work even harder because you never know when the drop down is coming.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. Because... People tried to say like, oh, them not winning Bounty was like another bad thing. Bro, they didn't win Bounty at all last year. Yeah. Spirit won Bounty both times. It didn't matter. Paravision win Bounty this time. They win Krakow. They're going to Cluj next. The only thing I look at here for Vitality, and I think they've done this smarter than other teams, is they came back to practice after the Christmas break, later than everyone else. They started their practice basically just a few days before Bounty. Played the online portion, got to the LAN, focus on Krakow. But some teams who came back way before and are going Cluj, they're going to get tired now.
Yeah.
And this is what Vitality now will probably have, just a couple of days of no practice and go straight into Cluj. That would be maybe their one day practice. I don't know their schedule, right? I'm just guessing of how it could be. But they're going to aim for having this Cluj win as well now. Like this is a big one for them at the same time. To keep that dominance going, to get that many trophies. And also, I don't think there is zero debate now on whether they're better than Astralis or not. But there is no debate.
No, I think, you know, they should be the best team of all time at this point. They have more trophies. I think it's just a antics question at this point, what you prefer, but I still say Vitality in my books.
Freya was funny while Zywoo was on the, I think it was Zywoo was on the desk, or maybe it was Apex on the desk. He just said to him, like, does this make them better than you now? It's like, for Dupree, man. But it's one more major for Apex and have the same amount of majors as Dupree, plus this year, plus this team, plus what they can do going forward. You know what? I'm going to toot my own horn. First event ever where this mousepad was used by Messi and he won his first trophy with it. I'm just a little bit proud that he chose my mousepad.
By Banks mousepad, win tournament.
Not saying that's possible. It needs to be the right mousepad for you, but he picked it up himself and chose it. That's what he wanted to rock with. And seeing that
IEM trophies
on stage,
are sold separately.
That's a good caveat to have in there. But to see that, right, and to see him have my mousepad on stage while he's winning it, and he's confident using it, and he feels good with it. That's an epic feeling, man. That's an epic feeling for me.
It's cool. It's cool. I mean, I'm using it. I've been gaining Hell Elo. Yeah. You can take credit for that.
Yeah. There we go. I mean, it's just definitely my mousepad giving you the Elo gains.
Yeah.
Not the drops. That's your mess ups. You're playing too long.
Yeah. That's because I didn't clean the mousepad properly. You know? Been snacking too much by the PC.
Anything else crackout wise?
Yes, but no. yes, because we're going Devil Walkthrough from Krakow Games.
Oh, wait. Before we get to the Devil Walkthrough, okay. We've got to touch on the JL thing because I spoke to him a little bit about it as well.
Yes.
So, like, people took a lot of his... I'm going to bring up my messages of him. People took a lot of, like, what he said badly. People were hammering on him. They have to remember he is just going from a player, does make a bit of content, very charismatic, and then going into doing an analyst role. It is so hard. It is not an easy thing to do. And also, he is still so young in his experience of doing all this, right? He's not a Dupree who's done it for a long, long time. And having to jump into Krakow as your first event, it is always going to be hard. I think he made some good points, but at times he kind of had the same problems like you maybe where it's not condensed enough, you know? He's not concise with what he's saying.
It is incredibly difficult to jump into this because at the end of the day, it's not like talking like here on a podcast. You have to plan your points, make sure it's understandable in the fewest words possible. If you're at any point kind of add on to your point, it kind of diminishes what you're trying to say. So you need to be really, really good with that and well fall out from the start. And I think some people, myself, I'm in that kind of category where I kind of think as I'm talking. That's when I get out like kind of my best stuff, in my opinion. But sometimes that can be a little bit awkward along the way as you are telling it. So jumping into something like that is not easy. First of all, there's a lot of like, okay, straight on to the point. Sometimes you don't know how to talk to your like desk partners and how do you sometimes you might be thinking about a point, they talk about it, and now you're standing there left with nothing, and all of a sudden you're trying to think about something just on the go. That's I think when stuff can go really wrong when you're new is when you haven't communicated well enough before a segment starts what is going to be discussed. And that's something that you just learn by doing more and more so that you make sure you're not falling into that pit, so to speak. But I've been thrown into events in the past. You know, I did the Antwerp event, the major. That was literally me waking up the day before the major started here in this apartment. I had a fucking, you know, one of these like robes, like morning robe.
Yeah, dressing gown.
Yeah. One of those woke up, didn't have my contact lenses on. Silvius tweeted me on a DM. I was like, okay. You want to come to the major? And I'm like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? And that's literally how I got hired for the major at PGL Antwerp. One day before, had zero prep time, just flew straight down there and did the work.
Yeah.
So it can be really, really hard. It's also very different as a player to analyze games compared to being on the desk.
Yep.
Because you can't really analyze as a player and then go into a desk.
But at least you'd already been a coach, right? He's gone literally from straight to player into doing the analyst stuff. And when I spoke to him, he said he's very honest with himself. I'm not going to say everything that's in this message because it is confidential message, I guess, private message, whatever. But he's like... He says, I know I could have done much better. And this is because I know him personally. He always tries so hard. He always puts his all into everything. And he likes to take on new challenges, new things to push himself forward. And this was obviously going to be hard, right? And I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He probably had a lot of support from the different people at ESL. I'm not sure exactly how it works. But I mean, it can feel very lonely as a talent sometimes when you're trying to do that and you're trying to, because everyone's doing their own thing. Everyone's doing their own prep and work. And like, it's not the same as when you have a team you know, and you have the coach behind you and the analyst and a performance coach. And it's something very different to go through. So I don't think it wasn't the best ever blowaway performance of someone going from being a player to an analyst. No, I'm not going to lie to anyone. He had some stumbles. He had some bits where his fortress was completely going off somewhere else. But it's at least he tried, you know. I'm not going to slam him for that. I do think it was just a bit rough putting him on a crack out to start off with, you know.
Yeah, it was probably more in the terms of they probably should have warmed him up with something before rather than straight into an audience desk.
Yep.
A lot of pressure all on one go because it's way easier to sit on stage and playing, I can tell you that.
But like, he even made this tweet. He said, "Today marks the end of my Krakow desk shenanigans. Can't call them segments. They were kind of ass. Not happy with the output I provided, but happy I went no matter how anxious I was of public speaking. I'd rather try and fail than not try at all." People thought that like he was kicked. He wasn't kicked from the desk. They did this last year. Pimp was on the desk and then he wasn't on the desk for the finals on the last day because they moved him into a different role where he's working with like the interviewers, for example. So it wasn't like he got kicked there. This probably was always the plan. It's just how ESL are changing the way talent do different things and have different positions.
I do have one thing. This is not even on JEL, but it's on the desk topic. Because I was watching the event, obviously, and my girlfriend doesn't really watch CS. Was it?
You can't keep saying this. You say this all the time. She doesn't really watch CS, but she's watching vicariously.
She's probably watched more than you guys.
And
she sometimes points at the screen. I recognize him. I saw him at the HLTV Awards. And but yeah, she pointed out that during the desk, you know, you saw like Freya, you know, Dupree, whatever. But behind the desk were other desks doing a show.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
And she was like, "That looks ridiculous." Like, she did not enjoy that at all.
So they are the desks for other languages. I'm guessing one was probably Polish and one was the main cast Ukrainian one. They're normally there and then a French one or something else as well. But I mean, I think this was just like bad positioning because I don't remember. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be completely wrong because obviously most of the time I'm working the events. But I saw it as well and thought that's not normally how it looks. Like normally they're to the side in a different place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally you've got a clear view from the desk into like the arena and the crowd. I agree with you. That was kind of...
That looked really bad.
I think this was just like a mistake and then it was too late to fix because once you set up all that stuff, you know? So it's just probably some learnings of going to a new arena because I don't remember that as being there in the past. So I agree.
No.
Good eyes from her.
Yeah. I mentioned that as well. Like, good catch. It actually doesn't look that great.
All right. So time for my devil walkthrough finally. Let's get it.
We have Anubis here. This is Falcons versus Vitality. And this is Aurora versus Falcons. So why do I have two? Because this is the only Anubis that Falcons played prior to playing Aurora on the map. Okay. So I wanted to kind of go through the perspective. Okay, what can Aurora have seen a little bit before of Falcons? Have that changed the way they approached it? Have it not? So we're just going to kind of run through this and maybe I'll ask you some questions of what can Aurora take from this. We'll see I'm putting Banks a little bit on the spot. So this is 2x. Obviously we see you know, they play a pistol. We're just gonna kind of chime through this. You know, we see the setup they play. This is normally how I watch a demo. I kind of just speed through it. This is not really important. See here, this is a forest buy. They started you know, B take here. Didn't really get any information. Kind of panic rotate back to the A bomb site. And we see kind of Vitality read this. Make an execute. Free bomb site. Third round. See how they react. This is only the Eagles. One smoke, one flash. So nothing really special. But we see here the pressure and how they early they want to make these reads. This is 1:15 on the clock, by the way. And they rotated into an A stack. So interesting. But we can see that there are a lot of CT movements on the map. already very early. This, to me, if I would look at this just as a trying to read my opponents a little bit, would make me feel like, okay, they're not confident on the map. The more movement you have back and forth, usually in these rotation spots, just means that you have players in positions that aren't comfortable. Now, there are certain caveats, like this was Ecos. They're trying to make a read and win a round. We'll see here. First real gun round in terms, they start with a 2 mid, 1 A, 2 B. They get pressured very, very early with these double smokes, which causes the third rotation from Nico. Monacy playing deep, but as fast rotation B. Pressure mid. Again, shifting position, making the rotation. So very, very easy to force rotation. You see they're going a lot back and forth, and this catches them off guard.
Yeah.
So this is still a conclusion that I would continue with. Okay, they are a bit jittery. You can fake them out. You can force movements on them.
Do you think they were doing that, though, because they had Nucleons here, right, as a stand-in, and they're like wanting to make sure they had extra backup?
That can definitely be one part of it. But at the same time, if you look at this rotation, we have Nucleons here on B. That Nico makes the rotation here on mid is based on Monus's communication. It hasn't really anything to do with Nucleons. So still keep that assumption going into like a prep work that he they are easy to rotate until Monus gets the info and the nades come in. It obviously fucks up their entire B hold in some sense. Fifth round, start with a kind of a triple A. This is obviously a force buy with some deagles. They make a great play, take over that A main. But still somehow ends up fumbling the round a little bit. As we see it end. I'll just continue. Another gun round. We see they still play this very old style of heavy challenging mid. Playing this.
This is still this, the old version, right? The old version of the map.
This should
still... What event is this from? Blast Bounty.
This should be...
No, Nucleons is Blast Bounty, so this is the old version of Nucleons.
Is it old?
Old version, yeah.
Ah, okay. Yep. That might explain. Window and old spot. It just, for me, looks on this...
No, I think the map would still be like this, but they didn't play on this new version because they played backdated.
Ah, okay. They played backdated. So that might explain a lot.
The radar you're looking at here is with the gap. Yeah.
Yes.
But this if this was bouncy, this was played on the old version.
Okay.
Just to add insight.
Yes, that makes sense. But it's still the only Anubis that they can draw conclusions from still.
Mm-hmm.
That probably explains this peak from Kixon here. In mid.
Yeah, he's looking...
Not much to look at there otherwise. But that's good intel. I didn't actually know that going through this.
See, I got you.
And we see here. Still like to be on that 3B if you pressure them early, if they lose con control.
So what am I looking for now? Where are we going?
Well, I'm just looking for small patterns in behavior from players. Mm-hmm. So I kind of look at it in the way that, okay, people, you want people to run back and forth rotation no matter what map you're playing on, really, because it just means they will have a worse position when you enter site, no matter what, because they're kind of in the middle space. It's kind of why people played, you know, fake B executes and doing second waves on Inferno, etc. They wanted people to run in that CT spawn area so that you find gaps on long, etc. But that means just that utility pressure, what can you draw conclusions from? If you utility pressure B heavily, that they don't have sight of con, a third guy will usually come towards that B site, which leaves mid more open, perhaps A pops more, you know, successful, late rotations, etc. So I'm just looking for small patterns. Okay, they fight water, drop kill, fight. Not really that much to see. But I just kind of want, we can move on to the T side. Just see, this is a conclusion I actually drew from even these five rounds, is that they like to play five-man grouped. The only times they went mid was when they had four spies.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, B split. Again. Just want to, well, here's again. Pretty much of a gamble round, but they lose it in the end. And now we can close that tab and go to the real tab of what I want to talk about. I just wanted to bring some extra context. So here we have round number one, pistol. What I really, really like about Aurora on this map is just how much space they give on mid. And we'll show that even on weapon rounds as we play this through. They're very, very comfortable with playing three-man A or three-man B and just leaving the space.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing they do really, really well is they don't smoke that many smokes at the same time as other teams do on this map. Now, this is an anti-force buy, I guess. They smoke the stairs. Centaurus smokes mid. But they play 2A. Centaurus pretty deep in mid. Safe. Major Soulfly. Interesting combo here on the B site.
Yep.
But I love this setup they go into. Like, this setup is so goddamn strong. You have Centaurus kind of hiding in the corner, waiting. He can peek both, you know, camera. If the split comes, he can peek on Vicadia's contact as he hides. There's a lot of like triangular success with this, no matter if they would kind of pour out here or if they would pour out here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very comfortable in these low utility setups with each other. Obviously, we see Falcons, they go for that camera. You see how well it kind of works together. Shut that down. Yeah. Major is ready for that lurk of Nico. And they win the round. Here again, the Eagles. Centaurus kind of peeking the water, making sure that Major doesn't have anyone close. So they can play that two-man B. He did get some indication that they took stairs very, very fast. Something that some teams might end up avoiding a little bit more as time goes on.
Yeah.
I also like this play from them. They flash out when the third rotation comes, because they, just to get some information here on the B main, Major, he doesn't spot anyone, because Tessa's kind of tucks in. But then Centaurus goes back to mid, and they play that two-man defensive mid setup.
Yeah, they're not playing aggro mid.
But what's so good about this, they flash and they instantly go into con. And they fight for con with two.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that, okay, they clear deep mid. It's not going to be like five players stuck in this corner, probably. So they kind of isolate that B main. They make sure that they keep control of something. Soulfly plays the Molo, peaks. Another rotation comes in. And they can kind of shut it down. Even though Nico almost wins this 1v4, I still think that they play it decently. They wait for each other. They're patient. They're making it awkward. Nico has no idea where people are coming from. And they eventually win the round. Again, start 2A. 3B. Zero middle start. They just smoke middle and leave it. Here, I actually looked at this round more in specifics. Here they smoke mid. They see, obviously, the smokes coming con, coming lurk smoke B, and Centaurus instantly moves to B. He actually moves into this jail position while he's starting mid. And Major, this is the only thing that kind of fucks up their whole setup, is Major molos way too late. So if you look at Kioske's position, bounce molo comes here. Mm-hmm. So he's already past it. And it kind of screws Centaurus' position here. Because normally in this execute, you'd probably want him to play a little bit anti-flash, have someone like Soulfly baiting for him to take the first contact, and then Major makes sure he controls the con space. But it kind of fucks up where he re-smokes now because he thinks it's kind of safe and going to have to react against a double player.
Because
if Kyosuke wasn't there, then Nico wouldn't be brave enough to just go through the smoke, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's no delay.
And that's, you see as Antares, he's forced to look into the flash because you see him constantly looking back and forth for the anti-flash.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of has to peek and gets blind and screwed. But I think the setup itself is good. It's just that Molder kind of fucks the timing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like about it, they have reads, they have setups they want to put themselves in. And even if this was like a micro mistake that ended up them losing the round, it was still the right play. Like they're making the right decisions constantly. And that's what I like about it. They're saving the weapons. They understand there's no way we're going to win it. And this is obviously something that we regard as a heavy, heavy, heavy team map.
Yeah.
What's their response? They know that they wanted to take con very, very fast last round. So instead they put double rifle here, kind of close to each other. Voxic is helping them out with B main so that if that Kyosuke is coming, they are ready to trade and punish. Doesn't come this round, they flash out, get info, rotation full to A. Because they know something is heading. I think that it's just from the last demo that we checked, we obviously know if we make sure that, you know, we take the information that we gather. They have a tendency to like to group up. They have a tendency to play five-man CS towards a site on Anubis. So that's why they're making so many flash plays, making sure that if one area is free, we can pull the extra rotations. If we do it in the right timing and figure out when they want to group, we have a big advantage here. And that's kind of what is ending up happening here, where their four-man stack with a fifth man holding Lurk mid just shuts down the execute. They have no chance coming into this. And they win back the round instantly. Now, there are rounds where still, I think Falcons play well. This is one round where very uncharacteristic from this Aurora side. It's 1:32 on the clock and there's 4 CT smokes on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
With almost, I mean, they did the double smoke here, but Voxic actually missed a smoke, ran CT, got another and hit it in mid. But it means that they have no extra smokes here on A to block.
Yeah.
What they did previously was play Vicadia kind of close air wall with the smoke as this was fading, re-smoke it as the execute came in. Now he doesn't have that extra smoke because Voxic kind of screwed up in mid. Which ends up them breaking smoke. Vicadia feels forced to play a little bit different and they end up losing this round.
Yeah, the rotation is not there.
Yeah, but you can see that if they would have had that smoke, maybe they would have played it a little bit more conservative. Maybe they wouldn't have been so scared on the map. Maybe they've gotten a rotation in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, here, they don't smoke mid. They just nade, played safe. Vicadia here, solo A. I like the way that they're doing things. I think they actually do something really weird in this round, if I remember correctly. I think this is the round. This one, I think they lose because of this situation in mid, and I want you to look very closely to what happens here.
They shot each other.
They started shooting each other and then rotated to B. Full sound. So Kixar and Kyosuke kind of aborts the B execute into just contacting mid.
And they can take full control because they heard it. Yeah.
So I think this kind of screwed them. This Turkish communication in mid kind of screwed them. we did see something similar happen to Navi, right? With Imma and Alexi.
Yeah.
really funny moments. But obviously this loses them the round because mm-hmm. if you looked at the previous kind of rounds, they would have had... Okay, there's several things to kind of mask in this one. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't think Bacadia should be peeking this knowing that Major had already killed Nico, which is their primary lurker towards A, in this spot. He shouldn't challenge for the A side. They should keep this A main control, first of all.
Yep.
This clown fiasco obviously happened, but they could have still recovered this round if Acadia stayed alive and could group up with Major late. Yep. But now it's like they have to go through this choke point, which is just, you know, I think everyone who's played Anubis is knowing this is a tough one to kind of force yourself through. So they end up losing that round. But I still think there's, you know, small things that if these things kind of didn't happen, they still have good control in the round. Again, just an eco stack. They get some damage in. They kill four people after bomb. Probably the goal of the round anyways. But I think for me, what's interesting is they very rarely start two mid.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very rarely. They play two on the sides very often. They like to fall out from the mid. They like to take this position only to, I think, to listen. I don't think they want to hold this space at all as Aurora. They just want to play the rotations. And I think it gives them an advantage in terms of first, they never know where the AWP is. And he switches sides all the time and plays from this camera.
Yeah, we saw him playing the B, saw him playing A. Yep.
Yeah. And they never really have the presence of him. And the second thing is they're so good at defending these like camera splits with their setups where they, you remember when they were playing like three people here?
Yeah.
I don't think they want to take mid. I think they feel like, okay, that's useless.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Aurora, they're stacking the sides. And here we have fast kind of B hit. I'm amazed how well Major actually plays on this side. Like every single time I feel like he's getting kills, he's getting impact. But generally, overall, it's just the way they start things, the way they have protocols, the way that they leave this mid space open and play more together as a CT team.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could think that with this new Anubis, that a lot of the focus would be on this new window where they drop. Yes. Like we haven't barely seen Molotovs here. We haven't seen them drop into this place. We haven't seen them really smoke stairs and abuse it. Aurora's essentially taken this map and just played it exactly the same as they would the last map. I think the only real difference is they're even more comfortable in the A setup with two because of this box. They're even more comfortable switching things up. And I feel like this box has made it harder. This window has made it harder for T's to take control against them. But I don't know. I think this is just like a thing that people are scared of, but Aurora isn't using.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see they're very, 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 very solid on this map.
So what T are you side as
well.
Man?
Well, what do you think about Aurora on this CT side? How they approach it? Because I think that they played it differently compared to other teams. I know there are teams that play it deep, far back. Spirit is an example who likes to play it a little bit further back, like to hide the rope or play a lot with the different positioning of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I like from them is they're super solid. They have really good reads. They always seem to know what's going on. And I find this a map are really hard to figure out what's going on, especially when T own this water area. It's kind of hard to know where people are hitting.
Well, that's where that position is on Tiles was playing in middle, where you can always get some extra sound cues as well. Yeah.
But their T side is also interesting. I don't think the pistol is that interesting. I think this is where it gets interesting. The first round. Remember when we watched the demo and we kind of saw the jittery rotations from... Major. What he does here is pretty cool. They do a double smoke B, so left and right of sight. Mm-hmm. He drops utility outside B just to fake that they are moving utility between each other. And then...
What? That's next level.
They go A with the major lurking.
So it's keeping the three guys focused completely on B.
Yeah. Because we saw before, if they pressured B on the demo, mm-hmm. Vitality, they would, Nico would rotate, they would play 3B. And they abused that. Two great flashes from Voxic and a smoke heaven late. They get both kills and the round is over. Now, next round, they do the same. They just continuously add this pressure. They have lurk smoke this time with a con smoke. This time, they don't go for this rotation. They did the CT smoke. Monacy makes his way there. Yeah. Backs off. It's a fake. But we're still getting the movements.
And he's already having to rotate in.
And I love this. I absolutely love this.
Toxic holding.
So they go into A, but their only goal is to kill Tessus.
Mm-hmm.
They kill Tessus, and they... walk back. Voxic kills Nico. And they just run away. And they just reset the round. And CTs have literally no idea what's happening. They pause it, run in the water, put major in mid, and go A again. They're literally completely playing with sound cues here just to fake out that they're moving sides. Again, T side. They start with this pressure. They know that this is chaotic for Falcons. This time, they want to end here. And unfortunately, Falcons are biting.
So they were trying to fake out the fake, make him stack A, but instead they will just stayed for it. Yeah.
Yeah. But they actually... Yeah. But the worst part about it is they actually end up winning this round.
So even with that, they still get the win.
Even with the worst case scenario, they won the round. Again, applying pressure on B, making sure they cannot use the con.
This time they're fighting for B main though, so they're catching Major. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're putting a halt on it, and then they've got all the information they know, but still.
Yep. Okay, this round Tessus they do win.
To back him up.
But every single round, they have to fight for information. They have to make, you see, they make a boost here, kill Kyosuke mm-hmm. from that new gap, play as a free man, walk out. Monacy's
rotation was key.
Yeah. And this destroys them. But I think for me, the big thing is that no matter what, they're always finding solutions. They're always having these little tricks. So this, I think, is a protocol that they have when they take A main. It's kind of like overpass monster. You remember when people started doing the lurk smoke, flash one into monster, kill one, back off.
Yeah.
That's it. So all rotations come, they take the space on A, etc. I think it's kind of like that. They just want to give this indication and insecurity. But I'm also surprised that Falcons aren't abusing this window as much either. No pro player wants to drop this with new window.
It's scary, man.
It is scary. But it could be worth it. It could be worth it.
We saw one round Zantara's get boosted in the window, though.
Yeah. Nico's passed Zantara's. They don't know. Kind of swap places. This is a round they win. But it could have easily gone the other way. Voxic had a clear shot on him. Either way, I just wanted to showcase a little bit some of the things that we see that this team does are just mm-hmm. annoying. It's hard to get information against them. They're abusing these canals a lot with giving sound cues or being silent, forcing rotations, creating that early chaos. And their CT side setups being very comfortable, rarely moving. It's only one player really moving at a time towards the site that they have read on. Otherwise, yeah.
Pretty stable. I think this is why they were so good at Vertigo back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. I think
this fits into how Magic wants to call and how he likes to set up his team.
I really like the way they kind of apply this early pressure on them, on B, force the rotations, make sure they're a bit jittery, and then do stuff like this, apply the real pressure in rounds. I think that's essentially it for me. Nice. You can, if you have questions, you can go for it.
Questions in the comments. I think I understood.
Yeah.
I see how they're doing it. Yeah.
Perfect. Well,
Do you think other teams will start to copy more of their style because they're so well versed on it? Or just look at kind of solutions to how to play against it.
I think they can definitely steal philosophies. I think a lot of teams already do this kind of channel pressure, going back and forth. But it's all about reading it right. I think CT side is harder because you need to feel stable, especially on the A side. Mm-hmm. Like, can you as two people win against an A execute? And how can you win? So I think if we go back to some of the CT sides that Aurora did, I don't know exactly which round. It was this one. If you look here, they've actually dropped a smoke in spawn for people to get. So they are starting 3B, dropped a smoke so that they would have an extra smoke towards A. So they don't have to fake it or swap utility here and the con and make all these movements. Woxy can do it as the mid player. Fortunately, he actually fails his smoke in this round. But I think small things like that, and especially their CT side, is what's so scary about them, that they can pick up 8 rounds on CT side, and then you go on their T side, which is also great. So I think CT side is where I would steal the most. T side, I think you need to find your own rhythm in a sense, and have a caller that's comfortable calling stuff. Okay, I'll stop the recording there.
Then I will look forward to seeing what they're doing when it comes to Inclusion of Ogre and playing through that within their Anubis as well.
How if they're ever going to play Anubis.
Yeah, if they're allowed to play Anubis. Sometimes they should. Sometimes they should. But that's the end of the Devil Warfare. That's the end of our Krakow review.
Yeah.
So let's go into some of the news that's been going on right now. Looking at 100 Thieves, obviously we touched on their roster a lot. It's kind of a bit of old news now. It happened during Krakow, for example. But 100 Thieves played in the Atlanta qualifier against Mal's NXT. Weren't even able to win against the non-main Mal's roster. It was Device and Rain that were leading the charge throughout that game, where the new younger players didn't really show up too much. It was just one map I'm looking at down here. So that's how these qualifiers work. I don't think it matters too much. It's about getting some experience for this team, right? It's just an online qualifier, but they've got a lot of these like VRS point grinding lands coming up for them, but they're going to have to show up better.
Also a boomer map, Dust 2, was played in the game.
Rain Classico.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, but obviously open qualifiers, no matter what, is incredibly tough to play.
Yeah.
But it is good warm-up because you're playing so many different teams. But I think this was only their second game they played, because I think they got walkover and won 13-4 and then lost against Mouse NXT.
Yeah.
I think so.
No, yes.
So unfortunately, not that much Counter-Strike for them on that day.
Yeah. Next big bit of news that came out just today was IM Atlanta and Astana. They are events, obviously, that clash on the calendar. Let me just bring up the calendar as well. So we have Astana taking place 7th of May to the 17th of May. And then we have Atlanta, 11th of May to the 17th of May. Now, the Astana teams haven't been announced yet, but Atlanta has. And, dude, it's crazy. So many teams declined spots at Atlanta. Furia, Legacy. So Furia declined, Legacy accepted. Paravision declined. G2 were invited instead. G2 declined. 3D Max them invited but declined, which then Astralis got invited and accepted. Falcons declined. So Game Legion were invited. Spirit declined. And Foot were invited. Mouse declined. So Pain got the spot. Aurora declined. M80 got the spot. And Mongols declined. So BC Game got the spot. Dude.
Dude, you're lucky to be BC Game.
Yeah, you're the last. You're the last one. You are the last one of it all. But dude, this is crazy because if you look at this, and I think this was smart from PGL. PGL put this to a $1.6 million prize pool.
Yeah.
So it is a huge prize pool, right? But also, look at where it is. It's just before the major. Yeah. CAC, it's also happening in China. Not a lot of teams are going to go to that. Because you don't want to go to America or China before you're going to Cologne. Now, for example, the very top teams, they wouldn't be going with a problem. If they're in stage three or stage two, you still got plenty of time. But you want to practice in Europe. You want to be amongst the best teams. And it seems like everyone from the big names, other than Vitality, FaZe, Na'Vi, are going to be going to Astana.
Yep. I mean, it's almost like a role reversal from last year where PGL kind of had to scrape their way through having teams. And now to have an ESL event be in that position is kind of strange.
But look at this, right? It's going to be so... Vitality probably going there just because... Well, Vitality are going to be lucky anyway, right? Vitality are skipping Pro League.
They have other things to play for.
Yeah, they're playing for the Grand Slam, but they're skipping Pro League. So they won't win the gold bars in Pro League. They're skipping that. And the next ESL one would be Rio. There is a chance they could win in Rio. Yeah, that's definitely possible. And then if not, they can 100% win in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, that's so comfortable for them. But like if we look down the rankings, I've just got the rankings up here for VRS as of now. So Vitality are not going, but you're going to get Furious Spirit, Falcons, Paravision, Mouse, Aurora, G2, Mongols, probably Liquid. You know, like all these teams are accepting Astana.
Yep.
That's absolutely huge.
If you look at the event attender list, would you say you would be disappointed in Vitality if they didn't win this event?
Definitely, but it might be, maybe they'd be struggle to be motivated. Unless, if they've got the gold bars already, one thing, if they win the Grand Slam already at Rio, yeah? But then, if they don't win it here, that would be very disappointing because you've got main event, Bait, FaZe, Game Legion, Na'Vi, NRG, oh sorry, Liquid's there even, so they won't be in Astana. M80, Astralis, Legacy, Foot, BC Game, Pain, like... And then the qualifier list is just, it's not strong. It's not strong at all. Wow. That's unexpected.
Yeah, it is. But
normally ESL is the one in full control of it all. But I'm thinking it has to be doing with the going to America before Cologne. There has to be some factor in it. Obviously the prize money, I don't know. It depends. Maybe I undervalue the prize money. Maybe that extra 600K prize money is a big difference maker as well.
I mean, it does boost your VRS points. And just because it's before the major, I mean, every team would want to be there.
Because well, the cut-off date would have been before that, right?
Yeah.
Cut-off of the major would have been before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then it's not a good excuse. But yeah, I mean, 1.6 million. Astana, people hyped it up. It was a great event last year. I mean, you hyped it up. You loved it there.
Well, it was huge. Yeah, it was huge. I did the whole
and obviously
Japan
there's some other
outfit
connections for some teams like Paravision with Dastan, Molodoy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those connections, you even if you're an org, it wouldn't even make sense for the org because you have, you know, a home crowd kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of epic.
So it'll be the April invite list, by the way, based on April's 2026 regional standards. I don't know the exact date. But when would that be?
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll work it out. And I wouldn't have that ready. But it'll be, yeah, it'll be after all this anyway. So,
yeah.
It's a crazy one. It's definitely a crazy one. Unexpected great teams now, both Cluj and Astana for PGL. Cluj is not
How are we going to watch this when it unfolds? How are we going to review?
I'll be working Astana, so you will need to stay awake and watch Atlanta.
Fuck that, man. That's not a fair deal.
Sorry.
I feel like you...
What do you mean it's not a fair deal? I have no choice. You have to watch Atlanta.
Stop smiling behind that no choice.
You have to watch Atlanta.
I'm going to watch the greatest games, no matter what.
If you care about informing our viewers correctly for this podcast that we have put our time...
It's official. I don't care about informing our viewers correctly.
Okay, I need everyone in the comments right now to light up this little idiot's ass so that he watches
Atlanta. I'll watch the final.
Bro, you can't. I can watch the final because the dates are slightly different, right? Or they both end on the same day. No, they both end on the 70th, so it's impossible. I can just about watch the final.
Yeah,
that's going to be... This overlap is going to be tough. This overlap is going to be hella tough.
It is.
That's going to be crazy. And all just before the major. Boy.
It's going to be in the middle of the night, right?
What's the time in Atlanta now? What is the time in Atlanta now? It is 4 p.m. and it is 9 for us. Or 9 for me.
Yeah, so the games would start realistically.
Hopefully early. Well, no, probably start earlier, right?
12, maybe?
I think they start a bit earlier.
But in playoff, they want them late, right?
For the audience. Later, definitely later.
No. Well, either way, it is what it is.
We'll find a way to do it, which basically means that Devolt needs to watch Atlanta while I'm working.
We will figure out another solution. We'll set up an AI bot to watch it.
Okay, wait for Devolt's AI notes on IM Atlanta. But it's still an IM event, but that's a crazy low attendance for that, considering basically all the top teams are skipping. But it does take us on to Cluj-Napoca news. That's where I'm going to next. Actually, I can say this now. Cluj-Napoca will be my last event for a long time. And not because I wasn't invited to events, but because baby's coming. So I will do Cluj-Napoca. My last day, I will fly back, come to see my wife, wait for whenever the baby decides he wants to come out. Maybe after or before the expected due date. And then after that, I will skip Bucharest. I will skip Rio. I will skip Rotterdam. I was invited to Rotterdam as well. And I had to tell Blast that I could not do it. And I'll skip Blast Rivals.
I have a baby
Austin,
question.
Texas. Yeah.
How many, Dragon Ball / anime kind of kids pajamas or whatever? Yeah. That you got already prepared?
None as of yet. I have shown my wife. I have shown my wife already that there are multiple outfits that I think we need to buy. Yeah. There's even someone who makes custom outfits, which I think are really cool. Need a little Vegeta baby one in there.
All right.
Yeah. So
they're in the plans.
The plan is 100% there. Okay. Yeah, that's without a doubt. But yeah, I'm going to basically be quite a few months without work. So I'll be doing a podcast, be watching games, but obviously full baby focus when it comes out. I need to look after my wife, look after family. So yeah, I won't be back in action till... If I'm invited to Astana, that'll be the next one I can do. So it's a huge amount of time off. It's kind of scary from a work perspective, but I'll do some streaming and stuff from home, maybe some co-streams as well. Maybe grab you for some of that. But yeah, it's a lot of events to miss out on. I wasn't invited for Pro League, so I never get invited for Pro League. They never asked me to do Pro League, so I was never planning to do that. But skipping Rotterdam, that's a big one I don't want to miss because Rotterdam was an awesome crowd. But no choice. Bucharest, obviously, you always do the PGL ones. It's pretty good. Rio, I've done every Rio since the major, and that was always epic. And then Fort Worth going back to America would have been cool. So I'm missing some cool events, but for a very good reason. So we'll get through that. So let's start looking at Cluj-Napoca, mate. It is a super stacked event. So $1.25 million prize pool. How's that compared to Krakow's prize pool? I don't even know. Because like first place here is 225 club share, 225. So it's 50-50 split. Where it was 400 for Vitality players and only 60 for club share. So they're going for the more club share, more orientated towards the teams. Obviously, PGL made that change last year. But we have Vitality, Furia, Falcons, Mouse, Paravision, FaZe, Na'Vi, G2. This is all the top teams. Mongols, Aurora, Astralis, 3D Max, Foot, Bait, Pain, and Heroic. That's stacked.
Yeah.
That is absolutely stacked. Spirit is the missing one. Spirit, obviously, we touched on it earlier. Halley made a mistake. He didn't think people were going. But here we are. Here it's going. It's happening. So, looking down this, right? We've seen all of these teams throughout Krakow. We have an idea of form now. G2's played their first event. FaZe got some hell of a lot of work to do. Same for Na'Vi. Falcons need to have a good performance. If you're looking at just this team list, where do you go as thinking like, who could make a dark horse run here? Who are not in this like top eight teams?
Dark horse run. I mean, if I look at anyone, like I have two teams,
mm-hmm.
potentially three. So I'm looking at Foot.
Yes.
I'm looking at Astralis. And I'm looking at G2. If we can call them a dark horse.
Ooh, G2 don't really count as a dark horse.
Okay, then remove them. Like, but yeah, Foot and Astralis.
For me, it was Foot and Mongols.
Okay.
Mongols can make some magic happen now. They've been in Europe. They've already gone through Krakow. Hopefully they didn't go home. I'll find this out when I do the interviews with them. They could come in sharper than what they did. I think they need to as well. They don't want to be just keep dropping VRS points.
I would love for them to do it, but mm-hmm. I haven't seen what I need to see from them yet. So
yeah,
I'm on the fence with them. I need to see a little bit more.
For Heroic, right? I feel like we'll do a quick like overview of all the teams that are here. So for Heroic, still without Alcarin. So Youngstar is still orbing. And like, it was a fun gimmick that worked out okay for them in Blast. But now it doesn't work. We saw it didn't work at Krakow. So I don't fancy their chances at all here. Oh, this would be a team I'm putting 0-3. Oh, that's actually another thing. Best format, by the way. We now have the absolute best format. Eight teams making it to playoffs. It's the major format, but improved. Yeah?
Yep.
Swiss system with only best of threes. So many good amount of games to play from. Pain, this is the point where I say, okay, you've added two players. I feel like I now need to see a little bit more from them, you know?
I actually played with Pariah Jr. on Face It.
Did you?
Yeah.
How was his English comms, even for a Face It?
I was completely fine. He had really good English.
Nice. So he's grinding though. How was he in your Face It game?
I mean, we got stomped, I think. So I didn't really get a chance to see anything.
But for Pain, it's not a do or die moment, but this is I need to see some development. I'm not expecting them to do well here. But if they go out in a 0-3 fashion, I'm going to start to be, I'm worried.
I'm worried that they might go 0-3.
Yeah.
I think my 0-3s are Pain and Bait.
Okay. I'm still putting Heroic over Bait in that one.
See, definitely.
Definitely. Bait with Sizzy now, this is the person we expected them to have. Yeah. We can move nicely on. They were terrible at Krakow, but they put that young player into an uncomfortable position. Now we're taking the player that was expected to join, so I have higher hopes.
Yeah, I'm not confident in their transfer situation.
Yeah, they didn't show up the first time, but
the thing that worries me is they kind of reset their practice time, and now they have to reintroduce everything for this new kid. And they're like a few steps behind because they obviously prepped everything else with the other guy. So that to me just like, it doesn't give me excitement. Sorry.
Okay. Foot, I'm with you. I think they can make playoffs. Foot is a team I think that can make playoffs. Like they put up good games. They play close to G2. They play close to Astralis. Like this is a team where they're getting more experience at these big events now. They had the online wins against OG and almost beating Fury at Bounty. Like there's a lot of positives with this team if they stick it together. I can just, this is the one I want to see them do well at.
Yeah, this is your favorite new team.
This is my focus team now. My ex-Navi junior team with Lounge. Definitely.
Are we
3D going? Max. 3D Max, bro.
It's always a team.
Yeah. I was going to, like, that's where I wanted to go with this because every time I start to believe, yeah.
They're the new VP, man. VP just, they were so disappointing, they disappeared. And 3D Max has taken the throne of VP, of being the masters of disappointment and surprises.
We spoke positively about Foot, they beat BC Game, they beat FaZe, and they only lost to Vitality and Falcons. Can we be that harsh on them here?
On 3D Max?
Opening game? They lost to
a Kosovo mix recently.
Yeah, but that's online. That's online.
Still.
Okay. Not even Kosovo players I know, by the way.
I know.
Not any of our boys. You know some of them. Okay. But
they're still an unranked mixed team.
Yeah. So not making playoffs then for you?
No.
Okay. Astralis.
Astralis looking really good. I think that their opening mashup against Na'Vi is a 50-50 game.
Na'Vi will win.
I also think Na'Vi will win.
Okay, good. This is nice.
But that's mostly nice. Okay, let me put it this way. I think that if Na'Vi was Astralis' second round, I think that Astralis could beat Na'Vi. But I think because it's a lot of time where this matchup has been announced, Blade can work his magic. And they can kind of shut down the good stuff about this newly formed Astralis in this game.
Okay. Aurora should be positive to make it to playoffs. They shouldn't have too much problems here. It's all about map pool again, how they develop from here, how they handle that Vitality and Fury losses.
They have a tough first game against Foot, though.
Yep. Mongols. For me, this is where I ignore what happened at Krakow. They've had more time in Europe. They've had more time to practice and get ready. Let's see what you got, Mara, Blitz, this system, these players, because you can't keep dropping down so far.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just reiterate what I said earlier. I think this team... I mean, I said, I think even in the last episode we made that... I look at them that they kind of need to reinvent and redo a lot of the stuff that kind of made them work and made them get to this place. Because I think that if they just keep recycling one player into new position, one player into new position, that this drop off is very natural. And I also think that it's going to take them a little while to come back. I don't expect them to be snap back to top five. I think they're going to hover in that top 10 vicinity.
G2, I think, should be fine throughout the Swiss stage. I want to see them go playoffs, though. I think it's like a really important one for them to keep that consistency going.
Yeah, I look positively on G2, even though they're probably going to start 0-1 down. That isn't necessarily a bad thing in a... Swiss system.
Yep,
I think sometimes even I've talked to my teammates when we've played Swiss systems that you usually get pretty mediocre opponents throughout the entire like bracket if you go 0-1 first, unless there's some incredible
upsets
early on and you can get really unlucky. But generally speaking, you should have an easier time to get the 3-1 than anyone else.
Yeah. Na'Vi, this needs to be a defining tournament for their season. This needs to be an RV that does well. They get Astralis in the first game. You said it's a 50-50, but I feel like this has to be where I see them not just make playoffs, but go on a potential deep run. I don't expect them to be making finals, but, you know, fighting in each game, going to a semis, you know, being competitive.
Yeah, it's Emma's
home crowd, bro.
Little bit worried for Navi.
This is the dream for him.
I think the biggest thing is if they are going to be a top team in the world, we're going to need that amazing, wonderful to come back. When he is incredible, Navi look almost unbeatable. And it's a little bit sad for him because Train was such a good map for him. I think that he really found his groove in it, knew exactly how to peak, how to do things. And now, you know, I don't think Anubis is a great map for him opening-wise. And he struggled in the past and especially early on this year. I just hope to see him back. He looks incredible when he's in form. And now we need him. And that's not saying that it's his fault at all for the dropping in performance. I think that's a little bit on everyone. But if they want a challenge for this event, Wonderful is the key element for me.
Yeah, I'd agree. I definitely agree. FaZe next. They start off with a game against Heroic. They've got a bit of history there, you know. They lost to 3D Max and Mao's Krakow. No shame in losing to Mao's. Just about beat BC game as well, I would say. Like, obviously, it was clean on the maps they won, but it was still a 2-1 how it went. I don't know. Like, I don't have them in my brain of going, like, FaZe are going to make playoffs. I don't have that mentality about this team
Absolutely
anymore.
Absolutely not. I think they, for me... the worst part is I could see Heroic beating FaZe.
Ooh. Ooh. We'll come on to our predictions later. We'll come on to that.
I'm not looking hot on FaZe. Like, I'm really negative on them right now.
Paravision? Mao's in the first game. They've played recently as well, right? I remember Mao's.
Yeah.
Best of one. Budapest Major. They got into the big leagues of Krakow. They lost to Na'Vi and Astralis 2-1. Still a very positive team. They're boot camping right now in Romania, by the way, at the Nexus facility. I saw the post earlier. They're on a grind. They're still grinding. I think it's a team that should make playoffs.
I think
so, too.
It's
in their own hands, but I think they should be making playoffs. Mao's, defenders of the Inclusion of Poker Trophy. It's the trophy they won last year. Obviously, there was a lot lesser teams in here. They beat the Falcons in the final, though, which is positive. Same lineup as before. First time Brolin was IGLing.
They're probably going to make semifinals.
Semis, most likely. Falcons, are they title contenders in current form, in your opinion?
They're such a weird one. Because, no, but they truly are. Because you can watch a game of Falcons and They can look better than Vitality on the eye test. Like, they can look incredible. All the individuals, everything is grooving. Then they get into the most important game and they just look flustered and it doesn't look like the same team. They don't take the peaks. They don't have the confidence. You see uncharacteristic misses of stress. And you know, there's always a post about Falcons losing a 2v5 or something along the lines. Unlosable rounds. I think that they are always a contender for a tournament. Even with the factors that I just said. But do I think it's likely they'll win a tournament? Probably not, but I still put them in that contender status.
Furia, for me, not guaranteed grand finals. Deep run playoffs, definitely. Should be in a good position. Just keep growing on what they're doing. I think this was a very important event for them at Krakow.
Yeah.
We know the positives there. And Vitality probably expected to win the whole thing.
Yeah, not I think that's fair.
Should we do our predictions? Should we go through this?
Yeah, Let's see what I actually wrote. I did this really quick.
Oh, you didn't look? Okay. Let's see. So, I sent this to our producer.
I did as well.
First game, Na'Vi Astralis. Obviously, I picked Na'Vi. I will always pick Na'Vi. That is just the way it goes with my predictions. Read into that what you will. Where did you go?
I picked Na'Vi, and I wanted to pick Astralis. But then I looked at how far away is this game? And it was like 5 days away, so I said Na'Vi instead.
Okay. Aurora Foot. I'm favoring Aurora.
This one I had struggles with.
Oh, I like Foot, and I still chose Aurora.
I chose Aurora, but I think there's a good damn argument to pick Foot in this matchup, I think.
Yeah, especially a hot start straight into the tournament.
Yeah.
Mouse Paravision. I went Mouse.
I went Mouse as well.
Cool.
I still think Paravision has a chance. They can make things good. They're an awkward team to play no matter what, but Mouse... bit too consistent for me.
FaZe Heroic.
Yeah, this one. Should I start this one?
I'll let you start.
I think I picked Heroic, and I know there's a stand-in situation.
Uh-huh.
I know it's... But it's like, from what I've seen from FaZe and Heroic, none of them should be picked, to be fair. Looking at recent results, but it's almost like that guy that did the food reviews on YouTube, and it's like my disappointment is immeasurable for FaZe.
So you just tied that in,
because I think I even saw someone posting, or someone did some comment, or maybe it was even on our last episode on the YouTube comment. Someone said that they're in the top 30 teams, round win percentage on T sides. FaZe is on the bottom of the list.
Yeah. Sad times. Do you know what's crazy?
And yeah.
I also picked Heroic.
You did?
I thought you were going to pick FaZe, so I picked Heroic.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're double Heroic out of nowhere.
The only thing I'll say, Frozen always shows up for FaZe. That's the only really scary part about FaZe. Everyone else can't.
Twist won't be trolled by admins anymore, so it'll be fine.
And he'll probably, but is it enough? That's my question.
Yeah. Vitality G2. I think we both probably went Vitality.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yeah, it's obvious. Falcons 3D Max. Falcons
lost my belief in the 3D Maxes.
Yeah. Furia.
I'm not impressed with the decision making over at Bait in the start of the season. Terrible.
It's also the most lopsided game you can look at betting odds on if you are a betting person. Like, it is so favored towards Furia. Yeah.
Yeah.
So favored. And then Mongols Pain. I went Mongols.
I went Mongols as well.
But you were just talking like the Mongols couldn't do anything. You still prefer that?
I said Pain and Bait would be my 0-3 picks. And you expect me to pick Pain?
I don't know. I'm just, anything can happen. All right. Who did you pick for the event winner?
Event winner, I went for a shocking one. So my reasoning, I picked Vitality.
Oh, okay. I picked Vitality as well. There was nothing really special there. We might, depending on when are playoffs compared to when the last game is.
The thing that we can do is we can go for just 8 teams that are going to make it through the Swiss stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can do. Okay, wait a sec. So Swiss. Oh, there's literally only 2 days. I don't know if we'll do an episode between Swiss and playoffs then. I don't know if that's going to be possible.
No, but I think it's fair. Day. We can just,
Okay, so
you can do a simulator. I'm going to do a simulator. I'm even going to stream. Maybe I'll even stream the simulator.
Record your simulator.
Yeah, record
your simulator.
I'm going to do that. Wait.
I'm going to just do my simulator now.
Yeah. This is... There we go. Start recording. Okay. Should be fine. Whoops. Okay. Doing my simulator without commentary. I'm just going to pick whatever I picked. In the second round, I have Furia versus Heroic. I'll pick Furia. I have Vitality versus Aurora. Pick Vitality. Falcons versus Mongols. I'll pick Falcons. Navi versus Mouse. I'll pick Mouse.
Okay.
Face versus Foot. I'll pick Foot. Bait versus Pain. Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. So I can't pick both of them as my zero freeze. I'll pick... Oh, can you decide this one? Bait or Pain?
Oh. Bait.
Bait. G2 versus mm-hmm. Paravision. G2 versus Paravision. Tough one. I'll pick Paravision. Which would end up G2 on a 0-2. but, okay. Furia beats Falcons. Vitality mm-hmm. beats Mouse. Navi beat Foot? Maybe. I think even Astralis will beat Aurora. I think that's possible. Mongols beat Heroic. Paravision beat Bait. G2 beat Pain. Face beat 3D Max. And Pain 3D Max on my zero freeze. Mouse beat Astralis. Falcons beat Paravision. Navi beat Mongols. Aurora beat Face. Foot beat Heroic. G2 beat Bait. Paravision beat Foot. G2 beat Aurora. Astralis beat Mongols. So. My 3-0s are Furia, Vitality. My 3-1s are Mouse, Falcons, Navi. My 3-2s mm-hmm. are Paravision, G2, and Astralis.
Okay, do you want my 8 that are going through?
Yeah.
I've got Vitality, Furia, 3-0. 3-1, Falcons, Mouse, Aurora. 3-2, Navi, Foot, Astralis.
Okay. Not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
Not bad. All right, that brings us to the end of all the coverage for Cluj. I think Cluj, by the way, will be, first of all, crowd was amazing last time, one of the highlights of the year. I really hope, and I have no information on this, I really hope that PGL make this a staple event every year, that we always keep coming back to Cluj, so that they can have a potential prestigious event where it's got some history. The Romanian fans love it. I hope that Navi gets the arena, so Imma gets his home crowd feel. For the first time ever, it's a feeling players don't often get to have, you know, very special. I feel like they have the best format, great prize pool, now the best teams. This is everything to set up a huge win for Cluj. It's going to be completely packed and sold out. It's going to be epic. It's going to be just amazing.
Such a good spot. Looking forward to it.
All right, Q&A time, and then we are done.
Yep.
Oh, God.
You want me to read this one?
Yeah, it's very long.
So Scourger asks, where are the celebration party hats for this episode? Episode 50. I don't know. This is a miss on our part. The more serious question. Sorry for 100. The length.
We'll do it for 100. We'll do it for 100.
To what extent do pros have to remain respectful and mindful of what they say and do, even when just playing casually? While I will avoid naming the pro directly, I played by chance with a pro on a top 40 team currently, on Comp Anubis, weekly mission. By round 5, he was calling us bots. The issue is, he was bottom fragging. The bottom damage and openly said he didn't care because he was high on drugs. I did confirm this is the actual player's team and not some copycats, because after game, I could not believe a pro player would act in such a manner openly. So first of all, I mean, fuck that guy. Secondly,
I want to know who it
there
is.
Are clause in pretty much every single pro player contract that if they do stuff like you just said, the org can terminate the contract immediately. There are even fines installments for some of these things that you mentioned. and like a fine plus broken contract in some of these contracts, because I think the biggest one would be that if you represent the org, which he obviously does, even when playing casually, puts them in any bad light, there are fines available, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So they definitely need to operate themselves in a good manner. Now, that being said, they're obviously pretty much every single pro is going to have bad times and bad games. But to the effect that you are, you know,
describing,
this is very serious, very serious.
For a, people have been, a casual game, by the way, this is not like a competitive facing game.
Yeah.
But also there are people who have got away with a lot worse. Yeah.
Yes.
On stream, public clips made on their own streams. Yeah. Where they have said racist things, harassment things, abusive things. And maybe they got a fine or something that we didn't hear about. But people have got away with a lot of crap, man. A lot of crap. Depends on the sign up, depending on the org, depending on the social backlash. He's very lucky, by the way, that you didn't just like clip this and post it somewhere and just screw him. You're coming to us talking about it. But I'm not surprised to hear these things. It's not fine. It's not acceptable. It's not nice. But I'm not surprised to see it at all.
I'm not surprised
but
either.
It's crazy. But it's in a casual game. It's crazy. It's in a casual game.
Like, if it is public information, like who this player is, what they've done, people can see the proof of it. I'm pretty sure that orgs are going to create a no-touch zone on this player. They don't want him to represent your brand. He's probably going to be stuck on a lower level of teams for a long period of time if that would come out.
Mm. Yeah, it could be career ending, you know? Definitely. Yes. Boy.
So,
good luck to him. Yeah. Hopefully that answers your question. Ultra, 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 ultra. I don't know how many ultras are there, but there's a lot of ultras in your name. How much longer will JL last as an analyst? I don't think it's about last as an analyst or not. As far as I'm aware, when we had him on the podcast during a major, he still wanted to be a pro player. So probably looking at getting a team after this next part of the season, come back to a position, you know. This is something for him to try out and test. He's been very open on social media. We discussed it earlier in the podcast as well.
Yeah. I think as Banks is saying, it's not a matter of how long he will last. I think this is just like a side gig. It was fun to have him around. I think it's also a little bit harsh to maybe judge him in the same way as you judge every other analyst, because this should more be a guest situation rather than maybe him being an analyst sort of thing.
He didn't come out and say like, I'm now an analyst, you know, I'm looking for this work or anything like that.
Yeah. So I'd be a little bit smarter with if you wanna, maybe he comes back later in the future and it's like, no, he's a great analyst, and he says, fuck it, the CS community hated me the first time, I'm not doing this. Maybe you'll be missing out. Who knows?
Who knows? But that does bring us to the end of quite a long episode for episode 50. Thank you as always very much for watching, looking, and supporting. Congratulations once again to our winner of the knife, Mr. Warm. Is it Warm 00? It's all the way at the back of the beginning of the document. Yeah, Warm 00. Congratulations to you. Thank you for always supporting. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. If you comment anything within the video, we try to comment and reply to as many people back on the episode as possible. Don't forget to head to www.allaboutcs.gg/discord. Join the Discord. Join the discussion. We're always in there chatting. You guys can ask your questions that can be answered at the end of each episode. And we're quickly approaching 10,000 subscribers, finally. We've gone over 2 million viewers as well. The growth, the love, the support is amazing. And hopefully, during Cluj, we'll have our next guest. I'm not going to make any promises as to who it is just yet, but it is in the works. We are cooking.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for everyone. Congratulations to, what was his name?
Warm 00.
Warm 00. Great name. Warm 00. Winner of the knife. So, yeah, send us some picture when you're swagging around with that one once you receive it. It would be lovely. And, yeah, thank you guys for all the support. Hope you enjoyed. And I'll see you guys next time.